suck on these nuts first.
You want me to suck these nuts?
Yeah, yeah. Suck these nuts
suck
first.
These nuts.
Oh.
Suck
these nuts. Oh, no.
You guys are like wine connoisseurs for diabetes. You're like sommeliers.
This is type 2. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access, first of 2015. Once again, this is Larry.
Hey, this is Regan.
Hi, guys. This is Jess.
And Regan came all the way from Burgers.
Burgers?
Did she go to Burgers?
Burgess Meredith.
Bruges.
What?
Burgess Meredith.
Bruges.
Burgers.
Brugs.
That's where they invented the hamburger.
Yes.
So
Hamburg,
Napsterdam,
and I'm
Napsterdam.
Napsterdam, dude. He went to
Amsterdam.
He went to IKEA, dude. He went to IKEA land. So we're happy campers.
Yes.
Or, how would you say that in burgers language?
I didn't learn
Haven campers.
No.
Hungen burgers.
Strasse. That means street.
Yeah, dude. That's Spanish. Do you know what that means? Strasse means in Spanish? Like, hey, dude, tiene strasse, wey.
What is it?
I have no idea. No. What are we going to talk about today?
Topic number one is, what is the most painful thing you've ever endured? Topic number two is, what is your favorite and least favorite sports movie? And topic number three is, what is the quintessential song that reminds you of being a teenager?
And we are pleased as punch to start 2015 with a Public Access alum and a virgin to the Public Access podcast, Jay Whitecotton and Joey McCormick. How are you guys doing?
I'm really good. Really, I talk first because I'm
new. No, Joey. God damn it, you already screwed
all
up.
All right, here we go.
Started over.
Yeah, good job, Cody.
Hey now, come on.
Cody, you.
Jeez,
Larry. Settle down.
Come on. God almighty,
I'm not talking anymore now.
Why?
Because he fucking stepped up.
Yeah, he fucked it up.
So it wasn't my turn.
He totally Odell'd it.
Yeah. We're pleased as punch to have Joey McCormick and James Whitecotton.
James Boscotton.
Wait, James
Boscotton.
I tried to bring on James Boscotton tonight instead of Whitecotton.
We just did a show at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. Joey was gracious enough to host, and Jay headlined.
Boscags and Friends.
Yeah, and Joey's a great host, except when bringing up Jay Whitecotton, who he apparently hates.
Who I probably said Jay Whitecotton's name at least 2,000 times. So for me to blow it tonight is pretty unexcusable, I think.
What did you say?
I said James, and then I kind of stuttered, Mike Cotton is how it came out.
No. James Mike Cotton.
I said, boo.
James Boz Mike Cotton.
James Mike Cotton. Better.
That's a great goddamn name.
James Mike Cotton?
Yeah.
No, it's like a bull weevil. That's not, a Mike Cotton.
It's the worst. Do you remember Lou Richmond when he was doing comedy?
Of course.
Yeah.
Backstory for the listeners, Lou Richmond was this, he was dead. He was a dead man.
He was a Jewish psychiatrist.
Who was 1,000 years old and dead on stage.
Yes. Hilarious. Super pussy.
Yeah, he was doing like old, like, 30s and 40s vaudeville jokes and Dice Clay's nursery rhymes.
Yes.
But getting mad at Dice Clay, he goes, I wrote these first.
And he might have.
He did.
He
was on this planet 80 years.
Satire.
To be fair, he was hanging out with Aesop at the time.
Aesop Rocky. Yeah, man. That's a good rapper, dude.
Yeah.
Love bad bitches. It's my fucking
problem.
He was
working with a buddy of mine who's living in New York now, Trey Gallion. And he could not, for the life of him, which was barely there anyways, say Trey Gallion. So throughout the whole week, it was, it ended up, it was like, Travis, Trayvon, like just.
Trayvon
Martin, I don't know. It finally, like all these different combinations, and like this late show Saturday night, he finally comes up with, Tron Gallagher.
Tron Gallagher.
I've died. To this day, all I can think of when I think of Trey Gallagher is like, you should be Tron Gallagher.
Tron Gallagher is the ultimate nerdcore alt comic.
Yeah. I'm mad I'm not Tron Gallagher.
Like, instead of a catchphrase, he just goes,
Tron. No,
like after every joke.
Tron Gallagher is a.
Tron Gallagher.
He's a nerdcore Atlanta
Bit-tune
artist.
Guitarist.
He's a black orphan in Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Tron Gallagher.
He's not an orphan.
He was, no, he was born in 1985 when Tron and Galaga were big, and that's why his mom named him Tron Galaga. His son is named Lord of the Rings Jenkins.
Lord of the Rings Jenkins.
Are you saying that's first and middle? Tron Galaga,
Lord
Jefferson.
Of the Rings.
Yeah.
And his sister Matrix.
And his baby sister Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta Jackson.
He's got a daughter named Minecraft.
That's a good book. That's daughter. Hitler's book.
God damn it.
Right, Jess?
No.
Minecraft is
no.
Book by Hitler, right?
No, god damn it.
Is that what that is? Is that what Minecraft's? I haven't
played.
I don't
know why all these kids are reading Hitler's Manifesto, man.
Why are you building concentration camps online? That seems terrible.
Sieg Heil Minecraft. Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't know. Good book. But
I don't know. The hero dies at the moment.
Does he? But does
but
he?
Does he? Question mark.
Yeah, exactly.
It's no 50 Shades of Gray.
I saw where he died.
Oh, you yeah. went
quote
and burgers?
Died.
Yeah, quote unquote died.
You were in Argentina?
Exactly. No, well, I was at his bunker, which it's hilarious
because
they don't want to draw any attention to it, so it's literally just a parking lot.
That's true. Germany is very, really on
good
the down low on that whole Nazi World War II.
The
thing.
Most apologetic country ever. Like, they're like, everything was like, oh, sorry about that.
They have a giant, we're sorry. Jewish temple.
They do. Huge. They have a huge. I went to the Jewish Museum. It's an amazing museum, but everybody.
Because it's
dies.
All their stuff given back to them.
And what it is, it's a big like bouquet and teddy bear that an abusive husband gave after he just beat the shit out of his wife.
The world's largest inflatable balloon with stuff inside of it.
No, no, it's the only apartheid apologist Build-A-Bear that was built by children living in apartheid.
Yeah.
The sad part is imagine how awesome it could have been. If it weren't for all the, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the, no, I've done the tour before.
The Jewish Museum could have been way better.
Well, when you do the tour in Germany, they're like, oh, and this is a nice place. This is where our industry, we brew lots of beer here. And over here is a concentration camp.
Over here, we make German chocolate cakes.
Let me ask you this. How much was it to go to the Jewish Museum?
No. Did you not see the picture that I sent?
No.
So they made me check my bags, and they gave me a number, and I was like, really? Really? You're gonna give me a number at the Jewish Museum?
That's hilarious.
I don't know about
dude,
that.
Can you point me to the tattoo shop?
Which one did you go? I went to Auschwitz. Where did you go?
No, it's just it's the Jewish. It's like okay. The Jewish. It's like we want to celebrate how amazing the Jews are, but all of our exhibits end with this person was murdered and died.
Okay. Yeah. And here's the oldest Jew in Germany. He's 60.
I went to Auschwitz. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop giggling because they had a gift shop. And all like, this is the most Jewish thing ever.
Yeah. I think you're the only person in the history of the world to say, I went to Auschwitz and I couldn't stop giggling.
He is not the only person now. There's a lot of Nazis in there.
That was almost
hilarious.
The t-shirt.
With white in their last
the t-shirt
name.
Like the t-shirt design that was, I went to Auschwitz and I left.
I went to Auschwitz and all I got with his lousy life.
All I got was depressed.
Can I do a humble brag?
Yeah,
can I do a humble brag that also goes in line with Jewish sadness?
I just don't understand. I'm not smart.
Possible.
I've never been like recognized for doing comedy except for like a couple of times, and it's usually around Texas or San Antonio, especially. But I got recognized in New Orleans at the World War II exhibit that they have there, specifically in the Jewish Holocaust part, where they just have all the pictures of the Holocaust and the ovens and all that shit. Yeah. And this couple that was saw me working with either Steve-O or someone else go, "Hey, were you in San Antonio as a comic?" And they're like, "Yeah, I was." So like they were taking pictures and behind the pictures is the Holocaust.
Yeah. Perfect.
And I'm just smiling like, oh man, I'm getting recognized out of state in a different city.
Yeah.
This is the greatest thing.
I can't wait to post these pictures and show everybody.
I'm gonna tag all my friends. I'm gonna tag Dan Schlissel, the Jewish owner of Stand Up Records.
Bruce Marshall.
I'm gonna tag Hollywood. and the World Bank.
And Lou Richmond.
And Lou Richmond. And Tron Gallagher. Gallagher.
And Tron Gallagher.
Well, here's the funny thing. I'm talking to Schlischel at Stand Up Records. I'm flying out in like 4 days.
Dan Schlissel, the president and owner of Stand Up Records.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, I'm working on. I want to get an album with him, so we're going to negotiate and see if we can both find something that works. And the very first meeting I ever had with him was during an alt South by Southwest like event.
Yeah.
They put on. It's not really South by Southwest, but they just throw it there.
I was on it.
No, this is before you.
Oh.
It was the year before it. No, it was at 1:30 in the afternoon.
That's even better.
A place called Headhunters that turned into a steampunk bar. I know, yes. The best.
Yeah,
it was on Bar Rescue, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're doing a show at 1:30, and it's supposed to be a showcase for Dan, and it's just in front of comics and like some drunks at 1:30. So I do the Holocaust Memorial thing. Oh, dude, who's excited about going to Auschwitz as a gift shop? How Jewish is that? Not knowing that he was like really sensitive about that thing. So he pulled me aside. And goes, you know what? That, you know, I was like, oh, hey, I'm getting the talk. He liked it. Hey, that one really hit home to me. And I was like, God damn it!
Of course.
Of course. The one fucking bit.
When I showcased for him at the Blind Tiger, I was
a little prefaced. More fucked up when you were saying, fuck juice goals. That was a little out of hand.
No, I didn't say that, Larry, and I would for like 20 minutes.
You still do that joke?
When you acted it out,
let
I was
that
like,
joke go,
I
man.
Know it has a MySpace reference in it. They were like, okay, don't do any Jew jokes and stuff. And I'm like, I don't do Jew jokes. So I didn't even have it in my head. I was like, yeah, of course I'm not going to do Jew jokes in front of Dan. And then this like guy who looked like Louis Farrakhan starts heckling me. And I'm like, look, get off your soapbox, Farrakhan, and quit telling everyone Jews are vampires. Jews are bloodsuckers. And then I went, I just said a Jew joke. Awesome. Yeah. Right, there goes my album. Yeah. But he liked it because I was handling a heckler and defending Jews.
And luckily, loves vampires.
Loves them.
Very.
All four cops.
It's like they have the same traits.
Yeah. They hate Jesus and crosses.
Look, they...
Unless it's Jesus and Christ. Right.
Wait, yeah. Are we talking about like Gary Oldman, Glittery, or Nosferatu?
No, we're talking Gerard Butler and
Dracula 2000
with vitamin C.
That was Gerard Butler.
It was.
I don't know.
No, Aaliyah? No, she was in
Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, we'll never forget.
Yeah, with Jonathan Davis's Lestat or some shit like that. It had like his rap rock fucking CD. It's fucking awesome, dude.
Well, anyways, you can just turn the Auschwitz joke into the Ground Zero thing because they have a gift shop too.
Oh, well, yeah. I went around it. I was trying to say, well, I'm just making a statement on marketing and how we're becoming branding. Right. I'm just trying to work it out.
Of course.
But everybody just was like, sorry, Jews.
For Ground Zero, you sure do have a lot of overhead.
Hey, you know what you could use here? A mosque.
There is a mosque.
Yeah. I know. It was a big, big, big thing in the news. A
couple blocks away, yeah.
People very upset.
Shouldn't be.
I'll never forget these prizes.
So, Regan.
Brussels.
Yeah, you went to Burgers, Brussels.
Brussels sprouts.
Broccoli.
Went to Germany, Austria, Czech Republic, Hungary, Belgium, and
now you're just making shit up.
Is Schwarzenegger a big star in Austria?
I didn't see anything about him.
Joel Settles makes a really great point. That he's lived in America for like 30 years and still has that accent, right? And if he's like an actor with his second language, why isn't he a fucking Oscar winner in Austria, right?
I wonder if nobody takes him seriously, though.
I bet they hate him. Like he ditched their country.
Well, Hitler's Austrian.
When the new hero be, what's his name? And
big shoes to fill.
And Inglorious Bastards and Quentin Tarantino's. No.
The
Jew Hunter.
Damn it.
He was in
Waltz.
Yes,
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, that guy's from Austria. Like, I wonder if he's a treasure. Probably
that's not really fair for all Austrians to feel guilty, like Hitler guilt from being from Austria.
It's too bad.
The Germans got it. Austrians are like, well, he went to Germany.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He did his real. Yeah. He did his real Hitler in
Tiger Woods is half Asian.
As far as Austrians go, though, I think Freud was probably the worst. Freud probably did way more damage than Hitler in the long run.
Nah. Natty.
Talking about sex.
You want to fuck your mom?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Sons of Oedipus?
No.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, so I went to a bunch of places.
You were in Bruges?
I was in Bruges. Why the fuck would I go to fucking Bruges?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Did you see a little person get shot in the head?
I wish.
I wish.
I was wishing for so many things, but none of it happened.
You went to where they did the movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I went to the thing to where they're in the little, they're looking at the little, I didn't go to the alcoves though. That I did not go to the alcoves.
And you brought snacks like you
I
always
brought
do.
Candy and snacks from all, there's a lot. So I don't know if we
do
can.
Do you know where they're all from?
Yeah, sort of. This is Austria.
What is it? Read it.
I don't know. It's mignon. They're like, I don't know, some sort of.
Looks like Twix.
Kit Kats, bro.
Hazelnut
Kit Kats, okay. Right. I suppose. Some Crash Mug Yogis. I think they're Baconos. It says bacon on them.
Nice.
So
they look
like
cracker nuts.
Yeah, they're kind of cracker nuts. I want to say these are from Budapest.
What?
These are from Czech
what are
Republic.
They? What are they called?
I don't know. Called Slavias.
Slavia. No, oh, cool. That's a badass
these
band,
are milk,
dude.
Milk Mouse and Valderberry.
Yeah.
These are from freaking Germany.
I love
these
those.
Negroes are from...
Negroes is the name of them.
Yes. Yes, Negroes. Budapest. These Napoleons are from the Netherlands.
Well, what are Napoleons? What kind of candy
they're
are they?
Cola with lemon in them.
Gross.
Oh. Yeah, get ready,
all
guys.
Right, right.
These are toffee pickers or something. I don't know.
Wow,
you already said
toffee
Negro.
Pickers and Negroes in Slavia.
It says pickers. Look right
can,
there.
Can I ask you a question about
yes.
your Negroes?
Negro pickers.
When you bought this, was there like an auction?
Oh, man.
Or was it awkward buying this or awkward trying to get through customs?
Well,
where did
big,
you fly into, Atlanta?
Being big into civil rights, I want to open up that bag first and free them.
Say that one more time. Being big into civil rights.
Belgium. Pickers are from Belgium.
Cruise Garza 2016.
Spring Onion Crispers by Chio.
Yeah!
These are from freaking... Where the hell are
bananas.
These from? Bananas. No, I don't know. I think these are either
let's
Czech,
try
Czech
Negroes.
Republic.
Well, they're Europeans.
Right, so. Negroes.
All right. All right. You gotta be the first one, Rick.
Why? Okay.
No, we all do it at the same time. We all do it at the same time.
All right.
Solidarity.
They're hard candy, man. Yeah. These candies are a lot bigger than I thought they were gonna be. They're not as big as I thought.
I'm pretty sure they're like licorice.
They look like cough drops.
All right, Yuri Negroes.
Bitch, lick my liquor. Right? Oh, it's gonna be black licorice.
It's
dude.
Licorice. Yeah, it's absolutely gonna be licorice.
Yeah, it's what it is.
Oh, it's black licorice. Don't eat it.
No, don't eat it. No, thank you.
I can do this.
I'm definitely not gonna let my daughter.
Actually, I mean, it's not that bad.
Nowhere near these.
It's not that. Oh, I had tried
so big.
Tastes
into
like
civil
rights.
So,
you know what it tastes like? Absinthe.
It does taste like
absinthe.
Absinthe is great. I went to an absinthe bar.
No.
It freaking tastes like licorice.
You know what else tastes like licorice? Jaeger.
Jaeger is, it's the same.
It's gross, dude.
Herbal. Well, it's like, it's herbs is what I know.
All right, let's go next. Coriander.
Oh, no, we're eating them. No, we'll move on.
You're eating these? No.
Yes.
Redo.
No,
spring
onions.
We gotta wait. We got a chance. You can eat it or you cannot eat it.
It's chewy in the middle.
That's not fair.
It's chewy in the middle.
I'm opening it for him. He wants spring onions.
All right.
Spring onions.
That means I gotta take my licorice out and then put it back in.
Wait, you broke into it?
I bit it. Oh, I broke. There's a filling. Dude, you're gonna go spring onion right after black licorice.
I'm gonna finish the black licorice when I'm done.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I'm gonna be just as prom day.
Oh, crap. There is stuff in the Negroes.
Yeah.
What is it?
You know.
There's stuff in the Negroes. It's a gooey filling.
Oh, I'm all about these. Which one are these?
Spring onion, dude.
Spring onion.
Dude, the Negro filling is not good.
No, it's cold. Like it's like a menthol sensation, which is appropriate, I guess.
You got cough drops, dude.
These might have gotten cough drops.
They are.
These are straight up cough drops.
But
you just can't read
menthol. I can't. That's the beauty of it.
Menthol flavored candy called Negroes.
You bought all these candies and they're looking at me.
All you gotta do is use Babelfish. Use Babelfish. Type this in Babelfish.
Type what in Babelfish?
The name underneath classic. Type that in Babelfish.
Those are fucking cough drops, dude.
Real gross. I regret it.
No, you know what? As a cough drop. Yeah, man.
Well, because you're already sick and you're already miserable. Why not? Just a little bit more being miserable. I'm ready for the Mac and Mouse.
I really want
Milk and Mouse.
Can I try this?
Milk and Mouse, yeah.
So Regan's traveling the world, hanging out. Jay, you've been traveling the country lately, right? Doing altercation, punk comedy tour,
that and other stuff. Yes.
Yeah. What's been going on lately?
Did some spots in Atlanta at the Laughing Skull. That was fun. It's a really good club. Did 50 dates in a row, 33 with JT Habersat, mm-hmm. And most of that was pretty fun. And then a lot of quiet contemplation as I wandered streets.
But you also are traveling with a devil worshiping bluegrass musician.
Yeah, for a part of that, for a couple of weeks with Dirty Charlie,
yeah.
Who's devil worshiping bluegrass. He sings songs about hating his women and loving the devil.
And he's Mexican, wow. Right?
Super Mexican.
Wow. That's hilarious.
With like a huge white trash mustache. Like Yosemite Sam, but Mexican Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, he's Mexican Yosemite Sam. Singing blues, Satan-worshipping blues.
Yeah, yodeling.
Yosemite Samael.
A yodeling, Satan-worshipping, Mexican Yosemite Sam.
His bluegrass. Yodel isn't traditional. He does like a, it's like a crazy.
And is he amazing?
He's amazing. He's phenomenal.
Well, I typed in a torak, and it just put a throat, so I'm pretty sure it's like a torak.
Gross.
Millions.
Candy.
Well, I can give those away. Oh, wait, what are we doing? Mignons?
Mignon.
I don't know what mignon means.
Doesn't Kit Kat.
Filet mignon? What is that? What's the mignon part of that?
Onion crispers. Wash this throat lozenge out of my mouth.
I really clean my palate.
I'm having fun pretending you're all on diets and forced to, but you're allowed to cheat on podcasts.
Oh, you don't have to pretend with Jess, man.
Yeah.
Hey, New Year's resolution, man.
Every Thursday is a cheat day for Chess.
This mignon's like pretty standard fare.
I wish it had GMOs in it, you know?
And Joey, you've also been doing radio spots, is that right?
Yeah, there's a guy named David Birdie who is a buddy of mine, and him and his brother do Birdie Brothers in the Morning. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun, man. Yeah. Yeah. Just
what station is this in San Antonio?
930 KLUP. Mm-hmm. The Answer.
And what kind of show is it?
Why isn't it The Loop?
What's funny? it's The Answer.
It's The Loop.
They, I don't know. I don't
know. It's The Loop.
I have no input on those. That's stupid. The name.
What answer? What question? What was the question? Why isn't this The Loop?
The question is what they're talking about on the radio. I don't know. No, it's a lot of fun, man. And, you know, it's just typically...
What time is it come on?
It's at 11 on Saturdays.
Okay.
It starts at 11 on Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. But, yeah, anytime I can get on there, man, that's the most... Obviously.
No, and you just talk about whatever? Is that
what's funny is that, like, they only call me when it's kind of like a goof-off show. Because they typically, like, bring on businesses, like CEOs for, like, the guy who owns Morgan's Wonderland. I can't remember his name.
Gordon Hartman.
Yeah. He's a big deal. Yeah.
I love Gordon Hartman.
Yeah.
Have you met him?
Once, yeah, at where I work. We had a function. I
think he's a good guy. It's kind of humbling to think, like, well, that's next week's guest, but this week we have local comedian Joey McCormick. What's going on? You know, like,
oh yeah, Nick.
Yeah, so we usually
millionaire philanthropist. Yeah. And this week we have Joey.
I don't know. We have
who's wicked retarded.
Wicked retarded.
That can go the other way. We have a creative artiste who puts it on the line every day, Joey McCormick, or a guy who creates an amusement park to watch retards around in fucking circles.
The hard R.
What if horrible. This guy is a terrible fucking person?
Well, I think
when is his like dance retard like yeah go through the monkey bar
because of his daughter.
It's an
that's even worse. God,
Jinx, he spent years with his daughter unable to go to any amusement parks.
It's a really great thing.
So because
thing
he's
done.
A billionaire, he's like, you know what? I'm going to make an amusement park for people like my daughter.
No, I'll challenge it. If you have a mentally challenged daughter, everywhere you go is an amusement park.
God.
Anywhere you take her picture, it looks like the snapshot from the roller coaster. You'll be fine.
Oh,
she does have a very happy demeanor.
Yes, take her to the DMV. She'll have a great time.
I don't know about that. Let's not go too far. No one has a good time at the DMV. Ever. No one. No one.
Wow. Jay White, ladies and gentlemen.
At White Cotton on Twitter.
So I'm really excited to have both of you on here. I know we're going to get wicked retarded on this thing.
Super retarded, kid.
Suck a couple Negroes. Yeah, black. And,
yeah.
I'm done. Hey,
Black Eyed Peas style.
I feel like I'm not the only person. I'm done with Negroes tonight.
Yeah. Man, if you told me sucking off a Negro would get rid of this cough, I would have done it a long time ago.
Yeah.
They're good for the throat.
Yeah. Yeah,
it coats. It coats.
Give me a kiss.
It does. Yeah.
Now I'm pretty sure these are probably cough drops, too.
No, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Salavia.
I'll Google them while we're talking.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's going to be great, man. Can't wait until this is out.
I need a Negro. Hold
on. Can someone find me a Negro, please?
Put a Negro in J.Y. Cotton's mouth, please.
I got to go on stage in 15 minutes. I need a Negro, or I'm not going to be able to make it through my set.
And everyone here is outside the green room, and they're like, what the fuck?
Maybe he's very alt.
Well, shit.
All right, well, on that note, it's time to move on to tonight's first topic, another edition of my segment called Yeah, I'm looking at that, a segment where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners and friends would be, yeah, I'm looking at that. So, tonight, we're talking about a movie called R100. It is a Japanese movie in which a man, an ordinary man, joins a mysterious club. And the club's particulars are you have to join for 1 year, and for that 1 year, you cannot break out of the club. You have to stick with it from beginning to end. And what the club is, essentially, it is basically an S&M like kind of club where men basically are pushed to their limits of pleasures and pain and whatnot. And so early on, being an ordinary man of ordinary tastes, being whipped by leather-bound women is too much for him, and so he tries to neg out of it, and they really stick with their guns, or you can't break out of it for that first year. So this team of dominatrixes start dominating his outside normal life, and they start going into his ordinary life and really reeling him in. You reel him into the club, and they have to stick with it. They have to stick with that pain. They have to stick with that pleasure for the entire year. So just kind of
look. Sort of like Cat's Eye, where they you join the club to quit smoking.
Yeah,
they go into your life and monitor you.
Yeah, instead of stopping smoking, it's get the shit beat out of you, have your nuts stomped on, or I'm not sure what other kind of
guys. Some guys like that.
It's Japanese, so I can only imagine what kind of delicious monstrosities happen in that movie. The director, I forget his name, but he directed the very, very cool movie, Big Man Japan, which was like this really...
Big Man Japan is so awesome.
It's fucking really cool. And so he's like two movies in. This is like his latest one. And I thought that was a just very... I want to say weird, but at the same time, very... Sounds like a typical Japanese... Like comedy thing.
Total Japanese.
Like it doesn't seem super out of the ordinary. But the title R100 refers to their rating system where R16 is the equivalent of R rated R. And so R100 is like.
Like the worst.
It's like the worst.
You have to be 100 years old.
Exactly, exactly. So that just quickly goes into our question where this man is pushed to his limits of how much pain he can tolerate. Not just how much pain can he tolerate, but how much pain can he actually enjoy. And it brings the simple question, what's the most painful thing you've ever had to endure? And I really couldn't think of anything beyond my gallbladder surgery, which sucks because that's such a pussy surgery.
Yep. Dude.
It's such a pussy, shitty,
it's like giving birth, I heard.
No, because it's laparoscopic.
What, dude? Pop, lock, and drop it?
It's a bunch of little incisions.
I was just sore for like a really, really sore for like 2 hours.
But
like
you know
it's
what?
Really
you
bad. Like it's the worst.
Don't feel bad that you haven't experienced excruciating pain and that's the worst, dude. Fucking good for you, man. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
You're my friend. I don't want you to suffer.
Yeah.
That's a good point. What'd you do with the gallbladder?
The gallbladder was taken out. It was rotten. They took it out of my body.
Is it in a jar?
They just throw it in the trash. The doctor said the gallbladder is, quote-unquote, the body's most worthless organ.
Look, I thought it was the appendix, dude.
I'm not sure.
Straight vestigial host?
This guy said the gallbladder. He says it's like your liver's doing your job, and then your liver kind of like spits out a little bit of shit in the side.
Your liver's writing checks that your gallbladder can't cash.
High five!
And the gallbladder's just catching these little secretions, and its only job is to cause you pain when those little secretions turn into like tiny rocks, and it has all these like very sensitive nerve endings.
Ooh.
And those rocks of rock hard cholesterol from the years of eating hamburger and taco chasers from Jack in the Box.
Yeah,
rock hard cholesterol.
Hamburgers were invented in Bruges, I heard, or in burgers.
So that just, and when they pulled the organ out, the gallbladder, and they pull it out.
They pulled the rock hard cholesterol out?
And I woke up after surgery. It was just 2 hours of pain. I didn't want to leave the hospital. I felt like the biggest wimp because they're like, okay, it's time to go.
Pussy?
And I was like, I just want to stay here a little bit. And they're like, no, you have to like leave. Like it was this nurse who wasn't being sweet anymore. She's like, no, you need to get up in a chair and we need to get you out of here.
And you're like, no, my stomach.
Like it hurts so bad to get from the bed to the wheelchair. And in my mind, I'm thinking like born in the 4th of July and like
fucking got a bandana around you
and Saving Private Ryan and all like, this man, shit and these
fucking arms go, dude. And I'm like,
your pant legs are already taped behind you, but that's because they're just too long.
Because Jess is short, and they don't make a
we can't hem this
for like Adidas pants. They just have waist sizes, not length.
And something was on TV. I remember I laughed. Went, oh,
I'll never laugh again.
It hurts so bad. But that sucks. That's the worst thing I could think of. And that's terrible.
Yeah, man. I feel bad for you. I hope something worse happens.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't.
Just so you can have a full life.
Exactly.
Mine is. It's also a little bit pussy because it's the only thing that comes to mind. But fuck, it hurt. I've never broken a bone or anything. And we went dumpster diving to supply the props and furniture for our film Blood Cousins, available at bloodcousinsmovie.com.
Is that bloodcousinsmovie.com?
That is bloodcousinsmovie.com. No, not .org. Yeah.
But if I Google Blood Cousins movie.
Yes. It'll be the first thing to come up. Yeah. It's on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes.
Guys, I wasn't paying attention. Is it bloodcousins.com?
Yeah, Blood Cousins, BLOODCOUSINS.
Larry.
Movie, MOVIE.
I don't know how to read.
Oh, copy and paste it, dude. I text it.
Okay. Yeah. It does have a higher rating than Top Gun.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, what we did essentially is we went to Brush Pickups. Yeah. We saw the schedule
dumpster
for
dive. Yeah. If it's on the breast, then you know it's free.
Yeah, exactly. Singing that the whole way. And Regan was a lot bigger then, so it was fucking three fat guys in the front of a U-Haul, fucking going to Brush Pickup, picking up couches and tables. And in all honesty, someone could have been having like a front yard party and we had no idea and just took their shit.
On the grass. Yeah, it's on the grass.
So I have I don't think it's a bad habit, but I bite my nails. And so I'll get hangnails all the time. And sometimes it'll leave like, you know, cuts and indentions and, you know, in the crevices of my cuticles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when you go dumpster diving, when you go brush pickupping, you know, stuff's been out there for a while. Rust settles in. It's a bunch of old shit. You don't know if it's infested with roaches.
Yeah, that one leather chair was soaking wet the whole time.
Even during production, it was a leather chair and it was always wet.
Yeah.
You figured it out.
You couldn't tell until you sat on it and then the creases would like leak.
Yeah, there was a small crack in the leather and then the water that was in the mattress came up from that crack
and
in the leather.
Stunk. And you got to think to yourself, they could have easily called Salvation Army to come pick it up, but instead,
if it's on the grass, then you know it's free.
Yeah, so they didn't want to help people, or Salvation Army wouldn't take it. So we're lifting all sorts of shit and entertainment centers and bookshelves and stuff, and it's rotten trash, and none of us wore gloves. So what ended up happening is because I had an open wound in my finger from biting my nails, it got infected. And they'll usually get a little bit infected and you just kind of brush it off like you do when your finger just kind of hurts a little bit.
Yeah, you put some rubbing alcohol in it or whatever.
You just kind of bite out the infection. Oh, right? That's what I do.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening is it got my ring finger on my right hand got really fat and purple.
Went septic.
Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, dude. Interseptic, dude. Micah fucking Tony Romo, dude. And so I had to go to the doctor. And at the time, I was only able to go to Texas Med Clinic. And the doctor...
quote doctor. Air quotes there.
Yeah. Came out and he was straight up out of like a Woody Allen movie, which is like, you know, all right, so what exactly happened? And he was like shaking and he seemed very neurotic, like he drank a lot of fucking coffee but like stinky New York deli coffee right from the 60s. And I was just like, I told him the explanation. He goes, well, you have a hangnail. You have a hangnail and it infected. So we're probably going to have to take the hangnail out. I'm like, we're probably going to have to? You don't want to, you don't need x-rays or anything. It's just going to cost you too much money. He's like, let me just go in there and take it out. So he shoots, like injects like this to numb it. Thank you. Local anesthetic. And he's like, okay, grabs a scalpel. Pierces my, you know, is about to cut into my mm-hmm. finger, and I'm like, ah! Mm-hmm. He goes, you felt that? You shouldn't have felt that. Hold on.
What did I inject you with?
Yeah, exactly. Grab something else. Inject. I'm like, fuck! Then it was like crazy numb, right? Like wicked numb. And then he slices my finger open.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh!
Yeah.
Sorry, you just traumatized me back into a new answer. Sorry.
Good. No, I'm glad I did. slices my finger open and just starts dig. Have you ever seen how far your nail goes down your finger? I have. It's weird.
Oh, yeah. It's a bad
wow.
thing to know.
What does it
wow.
end?
Huh?
What
I don't know how
where it
like
ends.
Up here. Yeah, it's like it's close to my elbow
it's
and shit.
Wolverine. It's Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. Wolverine. It's like I have forearm guards and shit. And he's just like, just cutting it with the scalpel. He finds the nail and just like evens it out in the most shitty way. And then he stitches it up and he goes, you should be good. Now he's like, I'm going to prescribe you Vicodin. I'm like, for a hangnail? Again, dang, I felt like a pussy. Wrapped it up and I'm like, okay. I was like, how long is this anesthetic supposed to last? He's like, it'll last for another like 45 minutes. Okay. So Andy, I go in a car. She's driving home. Then all of a sudden, on the way home, I just fucking... And like the post traumatizing, just picture someone slicing open your finger.
Yeah.
And fucking with it. Like real Dr. Giggles style. And it fucked me up. And I asked her to pull over. And I was just like, just clenching my finger, trying to cut off the blood.
Throb.
Yeah. No, really. It was just, it fucking sucked. And then from that point forward, I decided I will never. Ever go to the doctor.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you're better off.
You're
better
off. Live forever.
Studies show that more people die going to the hospital than anything else.
That's where all the sick people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all die there.
Yeah, exactly.
So just don't go.
Did you have visions of Saving Private Ryan or Platoon or anything like that?
Nah, man. Oh, okay. I respect the troops, dude.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I went through the gamut of like, what the crap did I go through? I had my leg surgery, which is bad. And then I was going to, but even worse than that was this earache that I was going to say, like an earache, ear infection. It was horrific. Like it felt like I was getting stabbed in the ear with an ice pick. But then you brought up slicing open. Okay. So I'm 12 years old.
Yeah.
Here's what I had, a sty on my eyelid.
Did you watch a doggy
poop? Everybody know what a sty is?
It's mistaken sometimes for pink eye, but it's not pink eye.
It's just a gland problem. It gets all puffy on your
eye,
right?
Did you watch a dog poop?
It's like an eyelid pimple, essentially.
You watched two dogs do it?
Yes, sure.
That's why you got it.
I know.
That's why you got it, dude.
Anyway, so this was the first time in my life that I got one. 12 years old, first time in my life that I got one, and I was like, I'm freaking out. My parents took me to like the whatever doctor. And he sits me on the table and he's like, okay, well, I think we can just go ahead and lance it. And I was like, all right. I didn't know what lance meant.
Yeah.
Well, I learned what the hell lance meant that day. So
your eye?
My eyelid.
Oh, no.
Dude, I'm 12 years old. And did I get any anesthetic? No.
No.
So I didn't know what this dude was going to do. I'm freaking just, I lay back down.
And people flinch when you just like do that.
He walks
your eye.
Up to my eye with a scalpel, holds my eyelid down, cuts it open, and then starts squeezing it. Ooh. Squeezing my goddamn cut open eyelid.
No.
And I'm in shock.
Regan.
I'm not even screaming. I am in shock and utter disbelief at what's going on. I was like, what did I this is an eye, it's just a bump on my eyelid. And he just kept squeezing, and I'm just sitting there in shock, freaking out that this grown man sliced open a 12-year-old's eyelid and started squeezing on it. And then
you're in hostel, dude.
And he just walked away, and he gave me like this warm compress to put on my eye. And I think I didn't say a word for the rest of the day. I just walked home. Yeah. I just went with my parents home.
He just walked home.
I might as well.
Your dad's like, go to the doctor, take
scared. My dad was there. You're embarrassing me. I guess you just trust doctors, man. Screw them. From then on, I've had styes in my eye before, and I have not done a damn thing.
No need to, dude.
No, apparently, you don't need to do a goddamn thing. The last thing you should do is slice open your eyelid.
Doctors are itching for a stitching, dude.
And that's why I never went to the doctor again.
Do you have a scar? Do you have a scar from that?
No, I'm sure it was a little cut, but it's my eyelid.
And he was 12.
Fuck, yeah.
The doctor, after you're screaming and he calls you back and says, hey, buddy, your money's on the table because it's a fucking cigarette, the fucking sadistic pedophile.
Dr. B.
Joey. Actually, I'm happy that this is my first time because I have a good one.
All right.
Yeah, not like your shitty one. Yeah. Fucking pussy, gall pussy,
finger pussy, dude.
Load of pain.
I'll tell you what pain. Okay, so this is in my real hand.
I'm gonna do play the piano. I have three quarters of a college degree. I drop out of college.
In what?
My degree, political science.
What else would I drop out of?
Yeah. So three quarters of a degree.
I was gonna say you got a degree in like surgery.
So three quarters of a degree, and I got offered a job exporting cattle. So what that meant was
a job there.
What that meant is I was
a cowboy, an
international cowboy sailor. We loaded between 600 and 1,000 cows at a time onto a boat.
Yeah,
and then we sailed them across the ocean. And I was responsible for. And they're all pregnant. They're bred heifers. So I was.
I've met a few of those.
San Antonio. I did that for about a year and a half, and I guess this was about.
But you're in charge of what?
So I feed the cows, medical attention.
And where would they go? What countries would they go?
I took them to Turkey and Russia.
Wow.
Damn. Turkey and Russia.
Turkeys, the cows. Cows, the turkeys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That joke.
I was with you, dude. I was with you. Did you take the cows to Hungary?
Did you take the cows to burgers?
Did you take the cows to burgers? Sorry, you're bullshit.
Guys,
I got your back, dude.
Bringing up these horribly painful memories.
Okay, so you're in charge of cows to Turkey.
All right, get to the point where you fucked a cow.
That broke your heart,
and you had to emotionally. Tell this is an emotional story.
Long story short, I'm working with a guy. I'm in the pen with all the cows. It's like a cargo container full of 12,000 pound pregnant animals.
Ooh, right? Jesus.
So I'm in the pen. And the rule was, if somebody's in the pen, don't move. Don't move. Don't do anything. Well, this Russian fucking idiot that I was working with, I guess, forgot that I was down there.
Was he wearing a tracksuit?
Nikolai Jackoff.
Oh, my God. I'm mad at him. Like, to this day, tell the story. I'm fucking mad at him. He forgets I'm down there and starts pouring feed into the troughs. Well, that makes the cows go fucking insane. And so the cow closest to me goes, I guess you're not getting to that food. I am. And then like does a little spin and then wham, as hard as she can possibly kick, right in the fucking testicles.
Oh,
right in the fucking balls, man.
That's good. Keep going.
But talk slower.
Is that in the Japanese movie?
Oh man,
I like it.
Yeah, so I got kicked like just directly, like just a square hit in the balls.
And I'm not even asking this to be a dick.
No.
Did you cry?
Yeah.
No, oh yeah.
Okay. Please.
Have you ever seen the movies? And I heard this growing up. Like, hey, you can get hit so hard in the balls that you
die.
Can die.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I was thinking that the whole time, and then so man, I doubled over, and I like crawled out of the pen, and puked. I mean, immediately,
yeah,
puked.
Right. Yeah, wow.
Immediately puked, and I just sat there, and this Russian goes like, "Oh, Joa," because Russians can't say Joey, by the way, they can't. Joa, I'm so sorry, and I looked at my guy, and I said, "Get the fuck out of here!" I just pointed out, and I said, "Get the fuck out of here.
I don't
man.
Understand this yeah. term I that you so used. You want me to leave?
In Russia, you we kick cows.
He's American pussy. Can't take a boss.
So I'm out there in the middle of the fucking ocean, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, no medical attention or anything.
Right.
And my fucking, one of my balls got gigantic.
Yeah, I was about to ask, did you get, was it in ball. Bruised?
Yeah. I'm on board.
You were on board, bro. You're on a fucking on board. Yes.
Yeah.
So I fucking, the best part of the
were
story
they
is,
Angus?
I came home and I was feeling my balls. It hurt for like 3 days. Just hurt.
Of course. But no, seriously, did you bruise?
No, well, I'll tell you. I came home and I was feeling my balls like on an unrelated matter.
Got it.
And one of them was huge and the other one was tiny, right?
Right. But you didn't notice that while you were on the
show?
No,
because it was swollen. I mean, it was swelling and stuff. So what ends up happening, I go to the urologist and it was one of those unprofessional, exactly what you guys
said. Yeah.
Unprofessional doctor.
Texas clinic,
He's he's feeling around my balls. No, this is an actual urologist. This is like a specialized medicine.
Right.
He's feeling my balls, and he just goes, so what happened? Yeah, so you got kicked in the balls by a cow. Yeah, man, that one's dead. It's done.
No!
That's what he said. He goes, that one's dead. It's done.
Yeah, you remember those words, I'm sure.
Dr. Speak. That one's dead.
That
it's
sounds
done.
Like the doctor from doctor. Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Being a dick and shit. talking all fag and shit.
As a your shirts and your so, shit's all fucked up.
Your shit's fucked up.
That's exactly the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Lexus telling you that your shit's all fucked up.
That's what he told me. So in my mind, I'm crushed. In my mind, I'm fucking devastated. Like, I'm like, well, there goes my masculinity.
But I'm cool.
So I go, so what happens next?
Cool. He goes,
so what happens next? He goes,
Tour de France?
Yeah, we're just gonna. I lack the training for that. Yeah. No, I go, so what's next? He goes, no, we're just gonna keep it there. So I have one functional testicle as an adult now, you know, because
but it's still in there.
Oh yeah, it's still hanging out. Yeah, I like to think.
Is it bigger still?
Oh yeah, no, I've got one big one, one tiny little dead one.
No,
for sure.
Oh wait, it got so the big testicle is your
testicle.
Normal one.
Yeah. And the tiny little one.
But it's not big. It's normal big size.
Yeah, it's not huge, but the other one's tiny.
Is it like a balloon where you squeeze the balloon?
And it goes to the other side?
Yeah, yeah.
No, man.
So like one of those stress jellies.
Did you
hear that, ladies?
Ladies? So if you're not
because chicks love balls,
and fertility.
They call me
are you able to
Chester
have kids?
I've never had. I've never jerked into a cup. I don't know.
Who
I don't
cares?
Know how you find that
you
out.
You should get that checked.
For what?
No, who
right
cares?
Now,
no,
dude.
No, don't even bother.
Let's check.
Well, yeah, just give me your cup right
no,
now.
No, whack into a Negro. You'll find out right away.
So fucking A, man. That's my story.
That's pretty metal. That's like I've ever been.
That's a Sepultura song.
International cowboy.
Or the lack thereof, I guess.
Yeah,
that's pretty metal.
There it is.
Top that.
Yeah. Good luck, Jay White Cotton.
Well, unlike you, when a cow kicked me in the balls, I wasn't a little bitch about it.
I kept both my nuts.
No, and all three of my balls work.
That cow broke its hoof on these nuts.
Then I punched it in the cow pussy.
Cow broke his hoof on these nuts.
In the Russian, nuts break cow. I want to hear Jay Wagon's painful story.
Now remember, it doesn't have to be physically
painful.
It doesn't
have to be physically
so painful.
Because I actually dread what's going to come out of Jay Wagon's mouth.
In lieu of the Jewish museum conversation.
Why?
If Jay was just like, well, this one time I stubbed my toe really bad. And I'm like, that's the most painful thing.
Here we go.
Jesus. It was a funny question when you brought this up because I've been thinking about this a lot.
Since I was 10.
10. I live in pain every day.
Yeah.
No, I live in pain every day. And it, like, as long as I can remember, I'm kind of evolving into like Nick Nolte and that kind of like every day it's just like, oh hell, god damn, you know, like,
god damn it, Chewbacca.
Yeah, it's a fucking Nick Nolte like Uncle Buck kind of existence. I still have it. I have an ingrown toenail that I've had for like 15 years.
Yeah. You don't got to do anything with it.
Yeah,
no, it's incredibly painful, but mm-hmm. I'm so accustomed to it. Like I have to dig it out with a butter knife every couple of weeks, and it's intense pain all the time. I broke a collarbone. I had a cow kick me. I wasn't lying about that.
Yeah, in the nuts? Seriously?
Yeah, I grazed. Like every day, the painful things for me is having to like interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. There's a taco stand called Taco Mex across from my apartment.
I've been there, dude.
Yeah. And I tip the guy really well, but if I don't have enough, like I got stuck tipping him really well. And when I only have like a dollar to tip him, I don't want to talk to him. So I'll send other people to go buy him. And because it's too painful to go over there and be like, I can only tip you a dollar.
And I'm sure you don't mind.
And that hurts me more than anything else.
Being a bad tipper?
Nah, not being bad. Just interactions.
Awkward and unnecessary conversations.
Just interacting. It's the worst. Having to, like, if you have a problem with someone and or someone's got a problem with you and you got to talk it out. That's
I know horrible. A couple people that would agree with you.
People paying me? I got a check for doing a comedy week with this one headliner and he paid me good. Like
that hurt?
Yeah, no, it hurt. It hurt. Actually, it hurt fucking bad. He paid me a fucking grand, and for bullshit. I was doing like 10-15 minutes a night, and I was like, fuck you for making me feel
proud of yourself.
No,
and you deserved every penny of it.
No, I don't feel that way at all. It's just
you should
dealing with that internal, like dealing with positive reinforcement. So he's kind of like, fuck, can't do it.
I just did it.
It's hurting him right now.
Yeah.
I don't mean to.
Like, you know what? The worst thing, a sinus infection for years. My sinuses were so bad that they inflared up and they moved my jaw out of alignment. Ooh. So they had to shave some of my teeth so that they will bite down the same. And I felt like I felt logy. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything. And I felt like that was going to be the rest of my life.
Good question, man.
pass me the Negro.
Yeah, for your
that said, we can try some Slavias.
Should we move on to Slavias?
I heard if you smoke that, you'll trip your balls off.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, they're a great band, dude.
These are chocolate and mint. Apparently.
Click, click, boom.
Chocolate and mint Slavias.
Chocolate mint Slavias. I got a sore throat, man.
Facebook answers. Hector Bodelkrist says, my right testicle was crushed when I was 11.
What's up, Hector? Totally
it grew to the size of a gigantic mutant kiwi. So his testicle got huge.
Why are they not supposed to be kiwi size?
Hey.
Yeah, Jay.
Smuggling fruit in the...
Yeah. Maggie Castillo Ivan says, childbirth. Man, none of us can say that.
No epidural? No.
Having a uterus isn't a talent, lady.
Jesus.
Ian McIntosh said, talking to Bruce Boxleitner's agent. I don't know what that means.
Fuck. Do you know what that means, Jess?
No,
I don't, but apparently Bruce Boxleitner has a horrible agent.
Brandy Dunnigan says...
Tron fame, by the way. That's
Brandy Dunnigan says, I tried to get a chemical peel. I only made it about 2 minutes, and then it screamed and begged the lady to take it off my face. I was convinced that the end product was going to look like somewhat... similar to Freddy Krueger.
Nah, dude. Chemical Smile X, dude.
Miguel Cantu says shingles. Ooh, I've heard bad things about you. Yeah. Richard Morgan says Xanadu by Olivia Newton-John.
There we go.
Oh, come on, ooh, man. Andrew Aguilar says cystoscopy. It's a test that allows your doctor to look at the inside of the bladder and the urethra using a thin lighted instrument called a cystoscope. The cystoscope is inserted into your urethra and slowly advanced into the bladder. Reason being is so that at the time I was assumed to have a bladder or kidney cancer. So yeah, a thin lined camera inserted into my dick.
Fuck.
Andy Salinas Garza says, when my broken arm was straightened out for an x-ray, I almost passed out.
Wear pads.
That was worse than having kids?
Should have epidural.
Curtis Allen DeDio says fist, as in funniest person in South Texas.
Yeah, I've heard fist hurts.
Stacy Medina says amniotomy. Labor wasn't going well, so a long, thin instrument with a hook on the end of it was inserted into my vagina and through the cervix so it could catch and rip the bags of waters.
Yep, fun stuff.
Oh, they did that to Andy too.
They do on Dr. Pole or something.
Well, no, it's plastic. Like I saw it happen. It's so they can break the amniotic sac.
I get it.
Yeah,
and it's just like
it don't make it any funner.
Get epidural.
Chrissy Baker says Tyler and I are watching the Halle Berry Catwoman right now, and it's definitely topping my list. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says a shot to my upper lip so that the doctor could give me stitches after I got bit in the face by a German Shepherd.
I mean,
so
sorry.
The shot hurt more than
civil rights, dude.
Tyler Lutz says, disregard my name being tagged in Chrissy Baker's comment. I am not watching that garbage. Oh, Brian
Benitez. Take it like a man.
Brian Benitez says, septic strangulated hernia. Doesn't sound fun.
Is that your new band?
Sounds like a new song.
A. Brian Wood says, kidney stones. Sounds horrible.
Ugh.
Richard Morgan says, actually, now that I've had a chance to reflect on everyone else's comments and reflect, I feel rather silly for the facetious comment I hastily made early on. I ought to have said that when I paid money to go see Tank Girl, the movie.
Hi, you dick.
Justin Cooper says, the time between new episodes of Public Access.
Oh, the pain will fade, my friend. The pain will fade.
Alfred Pettis says, having a broken arm with a chicken pox. That's torture.
Oh, man.
Misery. Misery and metal.
Fucking metal, dude.
This song's called Having a Broken Arm with Chicken Pox. Jared Rogers says, the idea that Cruz Garza 2016 is just a joke.
Ah, dude, fuck you, man. It ain't no joke.
And Travis K says, the hilarious going through cancer treatment as a kid. I had a terrible spinal tap. I hated the way the anesthesia used to make me feel terrible, so I opted to go without it. Ugh, having a giant needle stuck in your back. Yeah, that effing sucks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Those metal. Are fucking metal answers,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jess, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, man, sorry. R100, or there's this great E-Fuck clip where this guy gets his dick stepped on by a high heel, which is pretty hilarious and horrible at the same time. And I was laughing about it for like a good month because of the sound the guy made was,
But she pierces his dick.
Yeah.
And when she pulls her heel off, it kind of got stuck and did like a... like ding and blood squirted out. But the funniest thing was that his dick is like a floorboard. Like they made a floorboard on top of this man and his dick was sticking out in between two floorboards.
Yeah.
Jin.
And the sound that the chick made, or presumably chick, it was R100. It looks all right. I thought it was just the premise I think might be better than the actual movie, but I'm willing to give it a shot. So R100, yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
All right, guys, now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Yay! We are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
Now, again, Joey, we just discussed the fact that you don't have any children because you don't know if you're fertile or not.
I'm all right with it.
Yeah, white cotton, no children. So once again,
no kiddos.
Outnumbered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. With all those balls, man, all three of them.
So it was a really fun holiday, right?
I had Slavia. I'm sorry, I just bit the chocolate. Yeah,
that's all right. Nice. Talk about it.
It's like, yeah, you're eating a mint candy for the entire time, and then when the mint candy finally goes away, it's a nice little crispy, minty Tootsie Roll.
It's like eating a Tootsie Roll after you had a cough drop.
Mm-hmm. Well, a regular mint. A dinner mint.
So this Christmas was fun. Had 2 weeks off for straight. On December 18th, did Funniest in Texas competition in Addison, and that was the only show that I had for the Christmas break. So it felt pretty good to be at home straight for 2 weeks with the kids. It was a lot of fun. A lot of it was just watching movies and, you know, a lot of kids stuff. But Mikey, you know, is 9 years old, is really starting to get interested in things that I'm interested in, right? So, you know, I was showing her Nirvana.
The stuff you liked when you were maybe a teen?
Well, I liked Revenge of the Nerds and Bachelor Party.
Well, yeah, to an extent.
But like movies that we like that we feel comfortable with her watching that aren't like necessarily kids' movies. So on Encore, or on New Year's Day, they had a Rocky marathon. Right. And so I'm like, you know what? Awesome. You want to watch Rocky? And she had seen part of it. And it's, you know, any kid's going to like Rocky. I loved Rocky as a kid. You know, it's a feel good story, has the same formula.
First Rocky?
First, second, and third. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Rocky, I apologize.
He's on top of a roof with a gun. Brian Dennehy.
He boxes.
Right. Spoiler alert. No, but part three, when Mickey dies, Mikey really couldn't handle it because she's really kind of afraid of death.
Right.
And she's getting to that age where she's starting to think of like hurricanes and tsunamis and
she's a goth.
She's afraid of the earth. She may be, dude. She really may be. I'm like, check this band out. It's called Ministry. You know, like, seriously, that's happened. And she's like, I like it. I'm like, fuck yeah, man. So I'm 69. What? And so we were watching Rocky and we're like, great. We show her Sandlot. She loves Sandlot, right? She was like, it's fun, you know. Andy's like, I used to have a crush on Benny the Jet Rodriguez. And then Mikey's like, gross. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you know. And then so she finds Sandlot 2, right? And she's like, let's watch Sandlot 2. And I'd never seen Sandlot 2. And I think I might have mentioned this in a podcast before. But it was dog shit. And Mikey can sit through some pretty bad kid movies and just sit down and watch it. She's turning into this movie buff and in her own, you know, right?
Like watch it all the way through and at the end of it go, I didn't like that. But watched it.
And I'm the same way. There's only two movies that I didn't complete. One was Speck.
Was the other one Blood Cousins? You can see it at bloodcousins.com.
No, I watched that movie actually a few times at bloodcousinsmovie.com. You can purchase that with Big Red and Barbacoa for a combo pack for $7.
Good Lord.
But it's this movie Speck, which is one of those serial killer biopics about Richard Speck. Guy killed a bunch of nurses, but he narrated it, and he had all these misquotes from Ted Bundy and Carl Panzram, and I was like, fuck this, and like I turned it off like this weird serial killer hipster, which was kind of pretentious on my part. And the second movie was Sandlot 2. It was awful. Like we couldn't complete it. It was like, you know, they made it a really kids movie. It seemed like it was like a TV movie or something. It was just like really over the top, kind of a Mary-Kate and Ashley kind of Yeah, like that kind of feel. So
what was the plot?
Did they have the same elements of the first one?
So Sandlot was based in the 60s.
Right.
Sandlot 2 is based in the 70s.
Right.
All of the kids moved away and they talked about the legends of Benny the Jet Rodriguez and Hercules the dog. But what was left standing was the Sandlot. Mm. And it was in
That's not a bad beginning.
No, it's not. And that's why I was like, okay. Then the kid actors were shit. Right. They basically tried to carbon copy like
the same
fat kid, black kid brothers. Then they threw a girl in there and then they did the whole, you throw a ball like a girl. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Girls could play. And I'm like, okay, maybe this will be good for Mikey, but it wasn't because they had this love interest. It was bullshit. So we couldn't complete it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start showing some good sports movies to Mikey because I think sports movies are good for kids for the most part, as long as they're like, you know, there's a lot of sex in sports movies, I've noticed. But
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just to kind of like, usually with sports movies, the underdog wins. It's kind of like the basic plot for any sports movie. So
Not Rocky. Spoiler alert.
Tied.
Underdog wins in part two.
But part one, the original,
he loses.
Yeah, but he won. Because just like Rosie Perez said, White Man Can't Jump, sometimes when you win, you really lose.
No, it's about
going the distance. Rosie Perez.
So I liked Rocky a lot, and that's going to bring up my question. What is your favorite and least favorite sports movie? Now, it's pretty obvious my least favorite sports movie is Sandlot 2.
Okay.
Couldn't finish it. I really, really disliked it. I'm a sucker for sports movies. I like sports movies. And I would have to say that I watch it every time it's on. My favorite sports movie has to be White Man Can't Jump.
Right.
Yeah. I love White Man Can't Jump. I love basketball. I love street basketball. And to me, there's really nothing better than Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. And they were in Wildcats together, which is a football movie, and Money Train, which is a... Not a sports movie.
It's kind of like a sports-esque movie.
I love it. It was in the 90s. I went to see it in a theater. There's, you know, the and one feel. There's the fucking tournament. It's
it was more than just basketball. You know, it had the mob in there. It had Rosie Perez wanting to be in Jeopardy. It had, you know, the fact that Wesley, it had so much backstory in it that basketball just played a key role in the plot development, but still it gave, you know, it wasn't just, oh, these are wacky characters that are playing the game we're going to concentrate on them playing organized sports. It was a good movie. It was written well. It was funny. It had lots of quotable lines and then an awkward sex scene, but I'll take it.
Okay.
White man can't jump. So whoever wants
was it really awkward? It kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
To Ray Charles?
Yeah. It's kind of a little weird.
Favorite? It's kind of a toss-up. First one is the original Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds. God damn it. I just thought that was a really cool movie where it was a football movie, but it had to deal with the prison system and all that stuff and just kind of like all the realities and stuff. And it was a good movie. I liked it, and the football was good, and it was tough, and Burt Reynolds is freaking awesome. It's just a cool movie.
Tyrone Ferguson.
Tie with Over the Top.
Favorite. Right.
Here's why. After watching that movie, me, my brothers, it like changed our, we just became arm wrestling fanatics. That was like the thing to do, man. Like after watching that movie, it like, I remember that Christmas, that thing, every family get together, it became not us playing basketball or running or playing baseball. It was arm wrestling. Like we're going to see who's stronger within the age groups. And,
I have, you're all rich, bro. No, my aunt was a big Sylvester Stallone fan.
All of us were doing the freaking over the top thing, trying to beat each other.
Baseball cap.
Baseball cap, turn it around. Yeah.
It's like, become a different person.
Thank you.
Joey.
So those are two worst, and I forgot the name of it. I had to Google it real quick. Rookie of the Year.
No!
With Rowan Gardner? Here's why.
With Kevin Costner?
No,
his name?
No, with the little, the guy who breaks his arm.
You should play for the Cubs.
Rowan Gardner. Mother butt loving.
Oh, no. Okay.
The movie's great.
Here's why. So I played baseball my whole life. We're a family of baseball players. And nothing pisses me off more than that kid throwing in that movie in the worst form. He had like... The child actor never played baseball. He never threw a ball in his life until he got that movie. So every single time, even though he had this like a supposed amazing, it just, you couldn't teach the kid how to pitch. Like it was every single time I saw him throw the ball in that movie, I was like, that's a terrible throw.
You know what's the worst part of that movie for me? When they're in the limo and he's trying to hook up Gary Busey, which is a very odd love interest, and his mom, and he goes, Club Soda Babe, and then his mom goes, Club Soda Babe. Ugh, fuck that part.
So specific. Yeah. I just remember, like, I also remember seeing it wasn't Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight episode where they're interviewing that kid showing him throw the ball, and I was like, F that kid. He can't even throw a baseball. I hated that movie. He couldn't throw a ball. It's worse. Freaking sports movie ever. If you're gonna have a sports movie, have somebody who could play the sport.
But the whole plot was that he wasn't a good baseball player.
It doesn't matter. So here's the thing. Even with the strongest arm in the world, if you're gonna throw the ball like that, it's not gonna be a good pitch. Simple.
Proof's in the pudding, dude. They fucking made it to the World Series.
And for a while, anytime someone did something good, I would always like to be, oh, you should play for the Cubs. Just to be a dick. You can't say that anymore. No way to get that reference. Dude.
Worst sports movie, I played high school football, The Program. Not that
with Shaq?
Okay. No. The USC football.
Blue Chips. Yeah, Blue Chips. Not that it's specifically a bad movie. But like a really aggressive rape scene in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What, are you going to lead me on? The guy with the steroids? Guy who painted his face?
That's the one where they laid on the train tracks and let it go over them, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Not train tracks, like a highway, wasn't it? They stayed in the highway and trucks ran over them or some shit like that.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Either way, whatever.
Some kids tried it and they got
killed. Yeah, and they tried to pull it out of the movie, yeah.
It was the most aggressive... Up to date, I guess, but the most aggressive rape scene I've ever seen in a movie. Like, what, you're just going to lead me on? Throws her across the room, rips her t-shirt.
Watch I Spit on Your Grave.
No, watch...
Last House
well,
on
for,
the
Left. You know.
No, the one Monica Bellucci.
Oh, yeah, Irreversible?
Irreversible.
Yeah. But I like but her. In a sport, I like
we're talking about
Bellucci.
In you sports movies.
It's terrible.
It's pretty awful.
But that really
movie.
It bothered me. It bothered me.
That's
that,
a good
like,
next public access. What's the worst rape scene in a movie?
Cider House Rules. So,
is there a rape scene?
Oh yeah!
House
oh yeah!
Yikes, dude.
Most definitely.
Cider House Rules.
Tobey Maguire.
Cider House Rules.
Totally rules.
American meat. Eat.
But that guy, like the guy who did the raping, the guy who painted his face and did the steroids, at the end of the movie, no, it's cool. He can play. Yeah. Ah, come on. No, come on. It's cool.
And that's like, the thing. There's no repercussions for that character.
Super, super light on that.
Right.
That was just the way things were.
But that's a good one that I don't like.
Good answer, yeah.
And then my favorite of all time, no offense to any of your answers, you're an idiot if you don't think Mighty Ducks is the greatest sports movie of
Mighty
all
Ducks
time.
Is fun.
Maybe that's an easy one. Maybe that's a softball.
No. That's your favorite. That's your favorite.
Oh, come on, man.
Hockey, dude.
Gordon Bombay. And like, I grew up in Oklahoma, in Texas. We didn't play hockey, but that's how good the story is. It's like, it's not even about, and then all the kids had talents. Every kid had a certain skill. Reed Fulton, you know, jamming it past the net, you know, burning a hole through the net.
I've never seen it. Can you believe that?
Are you kidding me?
And I have.
Are you kidding me?
A Mighty Duck hockey mask. It was given to me by Brand Bumpers.
Yeah. Well, because of Jason for the horror movie.
It's got my boy Emilio Estevez. So
Mighty Duck himself.
Yeah. Oh man,
I can do Mighty Ducks
one and two, and even like honestly, I'll watch three.
D3.
I don't hate three, but I'll watch it.
Three's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, no. Wait, two's okay.
But one
I don't
and
think
two.
I've ever seen three.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez is in one of them.
Is he the guy who skates really fast?
The Mexican dude, the real cute one that looks like me, dude.
Like what, 20 years ago or what?
Yeah, about a week ago.
No, he's the guy who skates real fast and can't stop.
I've never seen it. I just know he's in the movie.
You're really.
I think so.
Right now.
I haven't seen it in so long, but yeah, I think it's the same.
My wife.
From Sandlot.
It was about a month ago that I watched all three of them on Netflix, and I just like I was late for work.
You took time out of your day
and
to finish
Netflix.
Watching.
It was Netflix.
Mighty
I literally
Ducks.
Could have stopped it and picked it up the second, but I was late for work. I was like, I have to finish
That's
Mighty
hilarious.
Ducks. It was
reel
so,
you in.
It was. It's so good. It's just classic, dude. Charlie Conway leading the team, stepping out so we can coach. I'm all about Mighty Ducks. That's my final answer.
Yeah. My favorite is a tie between. One of them isn't even hardly a sports movie, so I'll go with it, is Shaolin Soccer.
Yeah, no, that's totally a sports movie.
Because that movie is just fucking awesome.
It's really good.
It's hilarious, it has great action, and it's a great story, and it has the dynamic of a good sports movie where the underdog wins. So that's great. But the other one I think that kind of takes precedent is fucking Major League, because I don't like baseball. But Major League is such a great movie, and it's so funny, and
the calling the shot.
I get into that movie without liking baseball, and I think that says a lot about that particular movie.
Wild
it's just,
thing.
Oh yeah, my
man.
God,
Angels
I fucking
in the outfield.
I love everything about that movie. It's just
Wesley
so fucking
Snipes
hilarious.
With money.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes with
Willie
money.
Willie Mays.
The kind of break the them doing
fuck
the
fuck you Joe Boo.
Express card.
Fuck you Joe
Boo.
No, you saying Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Greatest line ever.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You may run like Maze, but you hit like shit.
Yeah.
Like, just non-stop where he's sitting there without the towel.
My man need cold baths or something. Like, give him the heater.
Give him the heater.
I fucking love Major League. Now, to go onto the thing about not liking baseball, my least favorite movie, and it's not a bad movie by any means, it's just a movie I don't like, I don't care for, I don't get emotional with it, and it's Field of Dreams. Don't give a fuck about Field of Dreams.
I've never seen it.
It's one of those movies where I just don't.
It's a nostalgic baseball movie.
It is a nostalgic baseball movie, and it is not bad by any means. It's just one of those movies.
You think it's overplayed though? You think like the cliche, like if you build it, it's just been hammered into us.
No, even when it was new and before it became that joke and reference or whatever, it did not resonate at all whatsoever. And then when I see it, I go, ugh, Field of Dreams, and I just like. Fucking not get upset about it, but just totally I don't know. Field of Dreams, blah. Right. Don't like it.
Okay, real quick. Me and Joey have both tried the Ruthof de Echt Pickers.
And are those the root beer?
Now here's the thing. What did you say they taste like?
It tastes like popcorn to me. Popcorn
right.
flavor.
I'm trying.
To- No. To me, it tasted like a licorice chocolate combo.
Right. I taste like that, like jelly bellies with the popcorn flavored one.
Yep, right. That's exactly what
that's
I said.
Are you serious? Popcorn?
What's it called again?
Regan's having a stroke.
What's no, it called? It's start. Okay.
Ruthof, R-O-O-D-D-H-O, Ruthof the Echt Pickers.
These are cough drops as well.
They might be. No, they're not.
I initially taste, it's the toffee, because it's butter toffee.
Okay,
so that's what you're tasting.
Now I'm getting mint.
See? Sort of chocolate.
Because it's a cough drop. But it's not chocolate. It's toffee,
dude. This tastes like, it does taste like a cough drop. Not like a Hall's eucalyptus. It tastes like a...
mentalyptus, dude.
The fucking E-Cola. Ricola. It tastes like that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The more I eat it, the better it tastes.
Or was it Bernie's Beeswax-esque, like organic vegan cough drop, like...
Why'd you get all these cough? Were you in a fucking drugstore?
No, I seriously was just grabbing the stuff that I for sure like was from there.
It says toffees.
They can make toffee coffees. Okay.
It just tastes like that buttered popcorn, that nasty Jelly Belly. That's what I had like a flashback to that.
No, I actually flavored candy.
No, I would be down. I love buttered popcorn Jelly Bellies.
See, I might attack you right now.
It's weird. Stab me.
I don't mind them. They're definitely not as bad as the Negroes.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Jay White Cotton, favorite sports movie?
My least favorite would be Schindler's List.
Jesus.
The underdog really doesn't win in that one, does it?
Yeah, just kind of went against type. No, I don't. If it's a shitty movie, I don't watch things I'm not going to like.
Right.
Pretty good about picking it out, and I like sports movies. I'm like Larry on this one. I love sports movies. Rocky is phenomenal to me.
Right.
I would say I have two movies that I kind of connect with at different points in my life. One is Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Right. Oh, see, I wouldn't even think of that.
And it's only because my brother, when he got out of jail, like we really bonded to the violence in Happy Gilmore because it was not gang violence. It wasn't like, I want to murder a guy. It was just random cartoon Bugs Bunny violence.
Right.
So seeing him like pour himself really happy, watching Adam Sandler just destroy things and yell about shitty life and then come out and loves his grandmother. Like that's how it was a good thing for us.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I fucking loved The Natural.
That's
one of those movies where it's a great movie that just happens to be a baseball. You know,
it's a great movie. It's him versus like they're trying to buy him off. He's like, fuck your money. Like it just has everything. It has nothing but it. It just reeks of integrity. And scored by Randy Newman, which I didn't know until after.
Wow,
the Randy Newman.
Fan. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah,
who's the lead in that?
Robert Redford. Recently, the movie I've really dug is Goon.
I haven't seen that movie.
You know what? I had posted this question on Facebook about 2 weeks ago, and a lot of people said Goon.
Goon's Brian really Powell's good.
I haven't seen it. It's on Netflix, right?
Really Sean good. Patrick Scott.
Yeah. No, it's Sean William Scott, and then Lee Schreiber,
who's badass and underrated and underused. As
absolutely,
an
actor. I 100% agree.
But Sean William Scott did a great job. He played a sweet character, like he was a bruiser,
Stifler.
Yeah. He was really great.
But he's a real dummy. He's kind of a dummy. He's a security guard in the movie.
So we talk about two movies with cast from American Pie.
Wait, who?
Rowan
you
Gardner.
Lost me.
Rowan Gardner was in American Pie. With
Stifler. From Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. He's the one that comes in the beer?
Yep.
Okay.
What's Goon about?
It's a specific part of hockey. It's called the bruiser, or like the goon.
Yeah, they call him the goon.
Yeah. So basically, the guy's job is he's an enforcer. So he's not a good skater. He's not a good shooter. His job is to beat ass.
Yeah. F him up.
As if the movie
win by attrition.
Is if they made the movie about the Hanson brothers from Slapshot. Is that kind of like
pretty much? It's like your job is to go out and get in a fight with the best player, yeah. Take him out
exactly, yeah,
so that we can win the game.
Yeah, I still need to see that. Slapshot is a movie I only seen a couple of times, but the two times that I do, I was like, man, this is very good. That's another good.
What about Facebooks?
Facebooks. Yeah. Ian McIntosh says favorite is Battle Royale. I guess that's a game.
Yeah, it's competitive.
Least favorite, Major League 2. Miguel Cantu says favorite The Sandlot, least favorite The Sandlot 2.
There you go.
Andrew Aguilar says favorite The Sixth Man.
Who's in
this? Marlon Wayans.
Wow. Least favorite, Remember the Titans. Ross Carter says favorite. Favorite is D2 The Mighty Ducks. So his favorite is
the second
one. D2. Least favorite, Semi-Pro.
One's saying Juana Man.
I'm waiting. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says favorite, Breaking Away.
That's the bicycle movie with Kevin Costner.
Okay. Least favorite, Precious. Wow. Brian Benitez says, favorite, Raging Bull. Ooh,
yeah.
And Rocky IV. Wow. Worst, American Anthem.
I don't know. American Anthem?
Justin Cooper says The Mighty Ducks and The Mighty Ducks. So he loves it. He
thinks it's a duality.
Alfred Perez says, favorite sports movie, Rocky. The series, I'm personally looking forward to Creed. Least favorite, the sequels to Major League. Cesar Portillo says, Talladega Nights for the win. That was a good one. And Balls of Fury, Blue Chunks. Jared Rogers says, favorite
Blue Chunks.
Favorite Hoop Dreams.
Oh, man.
Least favorite, anything with Bud in it as an air butter.
Hoop Dreams.
Brandon
fuck,
Raylar says, Love and Basketball was awesome. Mm-hmm. Least favorite was Hardball.
Which one was Hardball?
Keanu Reeves in the inner city.
No.
Wait, Hardball.
No,
I'm right.
I was thinking Moneyball. Yeah, right.
Travis K says, favorite Dodgeball. Is it legitimate? I don't care. It's funny and people get hit in the face with balls. Least favorite, Benchwarmers. Oh, God.
Yeah. With David Spade and Josh Hanson.
Grown men trying to be the Bad News Bears. Sorry, just didn't work for me. Yeah, that was a horrible movie. John Flores says, favorite basketball.
Here we go.
Least rookie of the year. Yeah, John, like. Yeah. Screw. Hey, it won't let me like it.
How about underrated? Because I feel like Replacements with Keanu Reeves.
I was just about to say that.
That's one of Larry's favorites.
It's not my favorite, but definitely honorable mention. I can't help watch the fuck out of that movie.
Every time
and they tried to make a serious drama version of it with Mark Wahlberg. Of the true story of like the walk-on guy.
Which
was that called?
I forgot. But The Replacements is based on a true story from a strike. And I'm getting... Yeah. I loved What's-His-Face, the kicker, Danny Bateman.
The smoking Englishman.
The Irish guy.
Yeah. Because I was explaining to Andy, because we were watching the Cowboys game, the playoff game. She doesn't understand football at all. And not in a stereotypical girl way. She never watched it. She doesn't know the rules of it. So I'm trying to explain it, and then we're watching the kicker comes out, and she goes, that guy just looks like a dude. I'm like, because he is. Yeah. The kickers are just fucking dudes, like on Replacements. That's why he was smoking and not taking care of himself, because it really doesn't matter.
You don't have to. One leg. Oh, man. Does anybody know who Chris Clue is? He's the punter for the Vikings. Yeah. He no longer punts for him, but he was very like... He got in a lot of trouble for just talking a lot on Twitter and stuff, but there's one day
No, he took a stand saying that gay people should have rights.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone just blew their fucking minds because Baltimore was going through some shit about it.
But the greatest thing about him is one day he was like, or one week he was like, I'm just going to tweet everything that I really do as a punter for the week. And it was like nothing. It was amazing. It was great. If you ever want to laugh, like the dude's hilarious. Like Reed, he's like just hung out, watched some videos, went and ate at this like restaurant. Like he talked about what he does as a punter, and it's nothing.
Wow, that's fucking like, hilarious. For a $250,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
It's like awesome. He can win Super Bowls.
No, he's a punter.
He's not even a place kicker.
No, he doesn't make field goals. All he does is punt.
He's like, kick it far away.
Those dudes are really just dudes. Like, the place kickers, man, that's a lot of pressure on the line. Like, you got to practice. Punters... Yeah, just kick it.
Chuck it to me.
Yeah. JT Habersat said Hoosiers wins all.
Hoosiers.
Stars says, does Teen Wolf count? Which I think
Teen Wolf does count. Can I say something on Hoosiers?
Yeah.
I thought this was really bullshit, but there's a scene in Hoosiers when they get to the national championship game and he gets all the teams out there and they measure.
Yeah.
It's like it's the same as our stadium. And then when they cut to the other team coming in, it's the blackest motherfuckers. And everyone on the team is like, oh shit. Like super subtle, like, oh god, they're black. Oh no.
The scene from Airplane.
But it was they weren't doing that because they were intimidated by how good they were. They were just doing that because they were black.
Like not even because they're
because they haven't
players.
Seen that many in one place at one time.
I think, and I don't know if this is right. So someone will I'm sure will fact check this and then tag me on Twitter and be like, oh fuck you. But I think the team that they play against is the same team that was in a Never Sports movie
exactly.
Where the white coach just gets all the black players just starts winning.
And they're the general?
Yeah, no.
And I think they beat the Hoosiers in that movie. So it's just like weird. Like,
yeah. Like the Generals are a good team, but when they play the Harlem Globetrotters, they suck.
They just can't get it together. It's scheme versus scheme, man.
Runner-ups, dude. I mean, hey, Buffalo Bills have never won a Super Bowl. You know how fucking many AFC champions they won? 4 in a row? That's pretty good.
Yeah, they were dominant in the 90s.
Can't call them losers. They're just second place.
They're good second placers.
All right. Jonathan Salas is Facing the Giants. Melissa Overstreet says Space Jam is the best. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Salas also. Basketball is up there. Chris Payne, Goon is the best.
There you go.
Robert Castanero says best and worst, A League of Their Own.
Funny, that is a good sports movie.
I like that movie a lot.
I love A League of
Their Own. Tom Hanks, when he's peeing in the urinal, is like one of the best movie scenes of all time.
Oh, best. Aren't you going to come, John Lovitz? I got to go home, give the wife a little pickle tickle.
Yes, absolutely. John Lovitz. The face he makes when he sees the ugly girl.
I still do that today.
Freaking kills me every time. Every time, John Lovitz.
I still say to this day when I'm stuck doing something and someone tells me, let's go, I go, I'm singing to Nelson. When I don't want to leave. Angela Rivera says, my favorite is The Natural. Erica Casada says The Rookie. Nathan Hosey says Rudy is great. D3 is pretty bad. Ryan Timothy Brace says love Slapshot.
Yeah, it's because it's the balls. It's awesome.
Hondo Aguilar post a picture of MVP. Valuable primate. Most valuable primate.
There's a
primate.
Monkey that plays basketball? Or what
yeah,
is he?
Oh, monkey that plays hockey. Yeah, that's not racist.
Well, why are you setting up softballs? T-balled that
one. I just puntered that one. I was a punter. Yeah. Punted
that joke. I got to get a game day shape.
I just finished eating Ruth Chris, and then I just took the punt in that one. So, yeah.
David Martinez says Major League. Francis Burris says Girl Fight is the best for me. Michelle Rodriguez, worst is Mr. 3000, whatever the Bernie Mac one is.
Oh, yeah.
What about the one where Tom Selleck goes to Japan?
Oh, Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball.
Mr.
Baseball's all right. You give us Mr. Baseball. Now we're even.
Mark Cantu says Rudy has to be up there as the best, and it's a complete tie between Ed, Matt LeBlanc, Monkey Baseball Movie, and Major League 3, Back to the Minors for absolute dog shit.
Ed, Matt LeBlanc, Monkey Baseball Movie. Wow. Yeah, that was a thing.
Andy Selena Garza says, best Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, worst Rocky 5. You know, I just recently saw Rocky 5.
It's not
with that in the back of my head that it, you know, was bad. It wasn't bad.
It's not a boxing match. But you know what?
At the end, it's a street fight.
But it's not
that. What it is? It's a good movie, but then it doesn't end like all the Rockies do. So you don't have that, you know. Satisfaction at the end.
But much like the newer Rambo, Rocky Balboa was surprisingly really good.
Rocky Balboa is super good.
Rocky Balboa is great.
It is.
The speech he gives to his kid made me cheer up.
Honorable mention that goes along with the same territory of Raging Bull. Why is The Wrestler? Because of just
The Wrestler's great.
I mean, yeah, it's the I get not so much the ugly side of sports, but it's the pathetic
honorable mention.
Side of sports.
Bring it on.
Fuck as worst.
Oh, it's not bad.
It's a Elijah competition, Dushku, bro.
Light, yeah,
fuck yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob.
So yeah, a lot Bobby more Fisher. For Rudy and Space Jam and Goon. Worst for all the Air Buds. So yeah, thank you everyone for participating. You participated in droves. Thank you so much. So yeah, man, parenting, man, fuck it.
Yeah.
All right, so this time, the edition of Hey, That's Not Funny, we talk about a blog from Psychology Today, talks about why does the music we hear as teens stick in our brains? Talks about a study that says that, this dude says, the more we grow attached to the music we hear as adolescents than any other time in our life, because our neurons... when we love hearing a song, our brain's pleasure circuits get activated and the brain releases dopamine, oxytocin, and other neurochemicals that make us feel good. Our prefrontal cortex retains the personal memory music evokes. He says, the more we like a song, the more we get treated to neurochemical bliss. He says, in young people, these sparks turn into a fireworks show in your brain. So between the ages of 12 and 22, our brains undergo rapid neurological development. The music we love during that decade scenes to get wired into our lobes for good. So it's the music between 12 and 22. We make neural connections to a song. We also create a strong memory trace that becomes laden with heightened emotion, thanks partly to pubertal growth hormones. So these hormones, when we're hitting puberty, tell our brains that everything is incredibly important, especially the songs that form the soundtrack to our teenage dreams. So it's talking about why certain songs we hear as a teenager stick in our brain. It has a lot to do with, I mean, if we think back when you were a teenager about what sticks in your brains. So yeah, just, which brings my quick question of what is the quintessential song that reminds you of being a teen. What happened? We're trying the Napoleon colas.
Yeah, but when you bite down, it's like
it's fizzy. It's fizzy. The lemon is fizzy.
The lemon is fizzy.
It's really good, but I didn't expect it.
I tried to tell you.
No, I was expecting like Pop Rocks or something.
And the cola is good.
No, it's great. This is a great candy.
Wait till you get in the middle.
All right,
wait till you get in the middle.
It's good, but you're also expecting it. Pretend you didn't know.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm not. I'm just gonna talk. Okay. All right, so we're talking about teenage songs that just make you think about being a teenager, that just remind you to take you right back to being a teenager. And I'm going to go to 1994, Weezer, the Blue Album.
All right.
The whole album, really.
Run on.
But for sure, the Sweater Song is the one that, of course, was on MTV. It's the one that made them popular, so that's the one that
I'll... Holly, bro.
That made him super popular, but I just, but good Lord, I listened to that on the way home driving driving back from Houston. I listened to that whole album.
Right.
It, like it says, like that article says, man, I mean, it just totally just brings back all of those amazing sort of emotions, and it just brings back that wonderful time. And that year itself, 94, that was like. Oh, it's a lot of good music and stuff that I just started listening to.
Now, let me ask real quick. Like, so does the Psychology Report and your answer, is it specific memories or is it just that feeling that
feeling.
Okay.
It could be a sensory recall sort of thing to where you hear a specific song, you think of a specific time and place.
Right.
But for me, the specific time and place I remember is laying in my bedroom as a 14-year-old on my back just jamming out to the Weezer Blue Album. That summer, man, I just remember just listening to it over and over and loving it and just absolutely going over and over in my head. And so that is the song, especially, like I said, I mean, my favorite song of that album is In the Garage. But
was there ever a time when Weezer was your absolute favorite band?
Currently?
No. Man, I respect it. I respect
it. But what's funny is 1994, that was, I think it was Licensed to Ill or Ill Communication. Oh, yeah. That was also at the same time. That was like equally like listening to that just as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But no, yeah, the Weezer, my goodness. Like, that album, 20 years old. And I love it like it was yesterday, like I was a teenager.
That's a good answer.
That's a great answer.
I'm going
and
next.
Now it's time to bite down on this lemony goodness.
Oh, man. Here we go. Fizzy, fizzy.
Come on! I don't like it!
Right? Yeah, dude. Wow. I thought you were going to make fun of me for that.
It tastes like soap at first, kind of.
Yeah.
No.
It's a sensation, for sure.
But then it's lemony.
Yeah, but it's good, but like you're like you want to like cough it out.
It's like lemon wasabi.
Can I take a few?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm gonna take three.
You should bite down three at the same time and see if you have a stroke. I like candy like that with like the fun center. With the fun center.
Mm-hmm.
These are from the Netherlands.
All right.
Outstanding.
So, I got kind of three answers.
All right.
I couldn't decide on one. So when I was a kid, like this answer is the coming of age answer because when I was a kid, I listened to a lot of like heavy metal, like hair bands. Including Metallica, Master of Puppets era, and Justice for All, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of my sister. Mm-hmm. She loved Guns N' Roses, Killer Dwarves, Metallica. And so I liked what she liked, right? And then my cousin Mondo, he got killed in 1992. So I was 11. And the one thing that me and him had in common, because my sister Frances liked Nirvana. She bought Nevermind.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe it was like the second CD she ever owned and in utero. And I just took those away from her because my cousin Mondo had Bleach on tape.
Yeah.
Lithium was a song that me and him really liked a lot. And when he passed away, I got really into Nirvana because it connected. It connected us. My sister kind of liked them, but not really, because she was, again, more into like the metal, and this was kind of grunge, so it was like half metal, half punk. And then when Kurt Cobain killed himself, like just a few years later, it crushed me, because it was the only thing that I had connected with my cousin. He was like my brother. So I remember watching Unplugged and recording it on tape with my grandma. I'm going to say Lithium made me go into my own, because when I bought Incesticide,
my cousin nor my sister had that album, so I felt like super cool.
Right.
Right.
For, like, Aneurysm. I love the song Aneurysm. And I felt special because of it. Then, in high school, when I started kind of doing drugs and stuff, and I was about to get kicked out of St. Anthony's, I was really into Tool and the CD Enema. I don't know how to pronounce it. Came out.
I just called that album Enema because it's just. I mean, that's essentially
the play on the word.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I don't know if there's a.
I went to Central Catholic. As far as I'm concerned, all of you St. Anthony's guys were tools.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
That's right, sweater vest. Fuck you.
I went to TMI and you all lost.
Yeah, you had girls.
Wow.
Yeah, you had girls at your school.
Yeah, he was the buttons.
Yeah. Buttons, dude. Yellow jackets, bitch. Woo! I got kicked out because I'm a fucking thug.
Public school.
You got kicked out too.
You got kicked out,
Me and Jess went to public school.
Yeah, public school.
Yeah, fags.
And I graduated.
So did I, bitch. But I, trying to be a badass, would, exactly.
No. Be all badass.
I had this CD boombox that had, you know, D batteries and stuff, and I would play the song Eulogy on repeat because I just love that song. But I would play it in my backpack, this like a gym bag that I would carry around,
right?
And no one knew that I had a fucking CD player in it, so it was just like, like in the hallways, and I'm just like, I'm fucking cool as shit. So that album reminds me of being outside by myself, and it was just me and my mom fucking sneaking joints on my roof. Fucking listen.
You
to
and your mom sneaking joints on you?
Yeah, man, we used to get fucked up. No, I would sneak joints when I smoked pot, and Tool just like third eye, dude, you know?
Yeah.
And Bill Hicks.
Right.
Right, right. You know, got me into that a little bit. And then finally, graduating high school, moving into college, I got really into the Deftones and the album Around the Fur. I loved, and then I actually heard Around the Fur before I listened to Adrenaline, which is their first album, and it was one of the albums that no one in my school really knew the Deftones. They were on the other side of a B-side of a blank tape my friend gave me, because he gave me like Korn's Life is Peachy, right? And the other side of it was the Deftones, and I just fucking fell in love with it. So again, just like Incesticide, I felt that I had this unknown thing, because again,
right.
Growing up on the South Side, they didn't know who the Deftones were at the time, because this is like, yeah, like 96, 97. Yeah, everyone knew who Tool. At St. Anthony's, they were all into rock.
Okay.
But when I got kicked out, I went to St. Gerard's on the East Side. I had friends that would crash house parties and steal the person's CD collection and give me all the rock CDs they didn't know. So that's how I got like Radiohead and Modest Mouse and stuff like that. Because they're like, hey, Larry, you like this stuff? And so I just got like all this fucking...
You like this bullshit?
You like this bullshit, right? So...
Great friends.
Aren't they? Hey, Larry, you like this, right?
I stole all this stuff.
So Lithium by Nirvana, Eulogy by Tool, and I'm going to go ahead and say a Bored by the Deftones are my high school. I couldn't choose one. Sorry.
It's all good.
Was it an album or a song?
It's a song.
When I really...
be an album.
I feel kitschy, but really, like, I remember being in high school and fucking Wheatus, man.
I'm just a teenage dirtbag.
Oh, wow. What's it called?
What year did you graduate?
Wheatus. Is,
I totally
what year did you
didn't know the
I
name.
Was 2006, man.
There it is.
I didn't know. So I mean, I remember that song. I didn't
99,
know.
99, motherfucker.
Yeah, but no, everyone knows Teenage Dirtbag, right? I mean,
I remember that song.
You've never,
I know that song. Yeah, I remember that song.
It has teenage in the song, so I feel kitschy, but it really does kind of. I watched a documentary called Bully about kids getting bullied in school, and in the very beginning, the opening credits, it was kind of
who sings it?
Yeah, kind of ominous. But
Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah, yeah. Wheatus.
That got its rotation on Kiss. That was a Kiss.
Oh, definitely. But I
look at my weenus, isn't it rad?
I only knew it.
That's what I think of.
I only knew it from karaoke bars because.
Right.
But it's teenage angsty. You know, it's like I don't think it was defining for me. But I think like whenever I think of a teenager, I think of like yeah, good.
Daddy's little girl ain't a girl no more, dude. Nirvana.
Are you playing it?
I'm
trying to.
Okay.
My answer, I don't feel like it's great, but I whenever I think of like if you talk about like a teenage song, I think of that. Yeah.
Have I never heard this song in my life?
You've never heard it.
Stand on in it.
The Fat Boy Slim? Yeah.
Her name is Noel. I have a dream about her. She rings my bell.
It's basically Weezer for pussies. Or Weezer for even
bigger. I've never heard that song in my life.
Never heard that song before.
She doesn't know who.
Hold on, let me remember.
Get to the hook. Wait, yeah, hold on, hold on.
In kids and two socks, but she doesn't know.
Here we go, dude. Strap up.
And she doesn't give a damn about me. She's a bitch, she's a lover, she's a dog, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint, I do not feel ashamed.
So my answer got turned into Alanis Morissette.
Not Alanis Morissette.
Who is that?
I don't know.
I do. That's the one I think of. Because I did. I discovered that song because, I guess, you know, I wasn't ready for Weezer. I wasn't ready.
Weezer's just a little too heavy for me, man.
A little too heavy for me, bro.
You know what? I don't feel like rocking a sweater. Maybe a sweet Hawaiian shirt.
Nah, man. I mean, it's the early 2000s.
Maybe cashmere,
bro.
I would have never known the name of that band. I do, but the song, yes, yeah. I do remember that song.
Yeah, of course. But there was a really, that documentary Bully, there was like an ominous child's choir, like a children's choir singing that. And it's like, it's kind of creepy. Like, it's kind of, you know, I'm just that. It's a little creepy. What's the replay?
All right.
What about you, Jason White Cotton?
James Boss Cotton.
James High Cotton.
Mike Cotton.
Mike Cotton.
There's too many. You're asking the like a
high school. Give me a couple though. Give me a couple.
Three. Well, if during my homeless years, Inner Visions, Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions, Living for the City specifically.
Yeah. That oh yeah.
Keyboard, and then that little play in the middle was like, what? Yeah, man. No, man. I was just walking. I don't know him.
Oh, goes, man. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm in jail. It's like, get in the jail, jail, nigga. Like, yeah. Oh, no, that ain't right.
Yeah.
But like just a soul from it. I would work out the talking book, which is why I'm not in shape. Randy Newman's Rollin', I think if I die, that's the song I would want to play because that always makes me feel good.
Well, you will die.
No. Everything Tom Waits, like that was my middle school. One year I listened to the first side of Led Zeppelin 4, and then
To Tom Waits in middle school?
Well, yeah. A
little damn, before. I was listening to Technotronic,
dude.
Man.
Like
that was third grade, homie.
Dude, like the hipster thing when they're all like, man, before it was like, oh, legitimately.
Yeah, I know. You're like,
I always feel like an asshole, but it's like I loved Randy Newman and Tom Waits and like sixth grade.
That's
Brian Wilson. Good. I was a huge Brian Wilson fan in elementary, like Pet Sounds. Of course, the Beatles. But there's two songs that like straight out for this conversation. The song that made me get into hip hop, like besides Beastie Boys, listen to them, you're like, yeah. Gone to November, Wyclef Jean.
Yeah. Isn't that a Bob Marley cover?
No, it's not. It's a surprising song. Like not the rap version, the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the video. Well, cause me and my friend Aaron Acosta, we would make fun of rap. We love making fun of Wu-Tang. We give each other Wu-Tang names. It was the funniest thing to us. It was like when the rap would get on the mic. All right, girl, this thing I'm gonna do. Like, there would be, when we saw Wyclef Jean do it, it's like, girl, this song is called Gone Till November. And he just starts, this is dedicated to my, you know, like, oh, this is gonna be some crazy, funny rap shit. And then it turns into the sweetest song ever.
Yeah.
This beautiful thing with Bob Dylan in the middle of it.
I haven't heard that song in forever.
That one, the most.
Still give a kiss to my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most important one, the one that sticks with me still, is Beethoven's Ode to Joy. Specifically, one
classic.
Recording. Well,
classic.
Classic.
I almost spit water on you. That's great.
In my opinion, it is the best. It's the best thing ever made.
It's freaking beautiful. Yeah,
it's like a masterpiece. Well,
you faggots.
No, it's really
sorry,
good.
Yeah.
Well, I listen to it. There's not a week that goes by where I don't think about it. And a lot of it has to do with when I was in high school. I was listening to this one. I think it was the Philharmonic version. And it's got the choir. It's got a little bit of the opera. The amazing thing about Ode to Joy is that it wasn't supposed to be Ode to Joy. It's based on a poem that was written around the right pre-Romantic period, Revolutionary period. It was called Ode to... freedom. And the German word for freedom, I believe, was Juden. And it was supposed to be Ode to Juden. And it was about, it was like a get back to nature, like take over the system type of thing. This guy wrote this poem. But at the last minute, because he didn't want to be murdered by the state, changed it to joy. To joy, which was like a similar in German word. And then Beethoven took that and then gave it all this power. So every time I hear it, I don't necessarily think of that backdrop. What I hear when you have the guy start, what I imagine is this like little like perverted dude going through like a town, and he's saying he just cheated on his wife, right? He's going back home, slinking back, and then the wife catches him, and she's like, and they're just having this fight together, and then the whole city kind of wakes up, and then they're all screaming, "No, shut up! I didn't mean to fuck her." So I have that, like, I have this little play written in my head every time I hear Ode to Joy. And then it gets to this part where you have one part over here. It, as a musician, it really, it calms my mind because there's like eight different things going on at once. Plus, yeah, you have the joy, freedom conversation and things. So I can only think when that song's on because it takes away every subconscious, like, side thought that's fucking me.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Metal. I like that.
Ode to Joy, baby. Chun, 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 chun.
For me, it's the Big Empty by Stone Temple Pilots that was on
the Crow soundtrack.
The Crow soundtrack and the Purple Album. That song in particular has this weird, like, it makes me feel like I had a girlfriend in high school, but I didn't. That's, when I hear that song, it gives me that feeling that I actually did have a girlfriend.
Driving
in
faster
high
in your car?
Yeah, yeah, yes.
That's what Bush did for me as a kid.
Interstate love song.
And yeah. Because it's specifically, you know, tied into the movie The Crow, which is a movie I saw like four times when it came out of the theater. And the first time seeing it was, we had to like, you know, they were being really crucial with the whole like show your ID to get into a rated R movie. And so we actually like snuck in.
It was a rebellion.
Yeah, it was this dude. It was like, it was not a double date thing, but then my friend was trying to hook up with this chick and she had a girl, like her friend. So like I was really dumb flirtatious with this other semi-chunky goth girl.
Yes, that's the best.
And,
that's
your jam. That song reminds me of the fact we never dated at all. That wasn't even an option, but that song makes me feel like that's the relationship I had. When I hear it.
That whole album, I can't agree with you more. It still remains.
The actual Purple album. Yeah.
Like that. The actual Purple album made me think about like, oh man.
Fuck yeah. That song hits it, and then the other song, and it's Ryu's theme from Street Fighter 2, the original version. When I hear that, any cover version of that, like this is as like old as Street Fighter is, I hear that, and it automatically takes me to like that teenage. Yeah. Time, that particular time, like corner stores, playing it with friends, that whole 4 years of moving away from a middle school from my middle school friends to a different high school, but still hanging out with them like at River Center Mall and shit, and going to the Tilt, and really, believe it or not, and like I hear it and it takes me right back to that time. So those two jams right there are it right there.
Good answers, man.
Yeah.
How about Facebooks?
Yeah. Facebooks. Ian McIntosh says, learn to fly.
Oh, Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Okay. Great video where they played all the parts.
Yeah.
Miguel Cantu says, Skilo, I wish.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Good answer. Yeah. A. Brian Wood says, Loveful by the Cardigans. Totally.
Love me.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy Salinas Garza says, Red Alert, DJ Laz.
Bitch? All the music that means so much to us, and you're going to go back to your hood rat days?
She says, I was a lonely rocker in a group of hoochies.
Say it again?
She goes, I was a lonely rocker in a group of hoochies.
All right, dude.
But that just reminds her of being a teenager.
Yeah, right. Good answer, babe.
Brandy Dunnigan says, I can't pick just one song. The entire Jagged Little Pill album has a special place in my
teenager. You know?
Angst Ridden Heart.
Oh, I'm opening up for Dave Coulier in June, by the way.
Are you really?
Good segue.
I turned it down.
Oh. Good, dude. I asked for it because Mikey's a big Full House fan.
Cut it out.
That's going to be awesome. Ross Carter says, Fat Lip by Sum 41 and Take Off Your Jacket by Blink 182.
Cool.
Andrew Aguilar says, Sandstorm by DJ Sammy. You know what that is?
Yeah, that song.
Nice. Well done, McCormick. Shaggy.
It was like I was listening to it.
Hell yeah.
That was spicy, McCormick.
Can you like the spices?
God
God,
how long
no.
have you been holding that back?
I just fucking
months. No,
I'm
shut
the
up.
First one
months
ever
since you've
can
known
you,
me.
Swear. Can you do a mashup of that with Weed is Teenage Dirtbag?
No. I'm gonna make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I'm gonna make that happen for this yeah. show.
Roasted garlic and herb and lemon pepper, dude.
I'm just a teenage dirtbag, baby.
Give him the pepper, McCormick. Give him the pepper, McCormick. Yeah. Montreal steak.
Oh, man. Okay.
No.
Shaggy from Puto Slam says Subdivisions by Rush.
fucking old, dude.
If you said Precious, I was going to be so
I'm automatically going to put Shaggy in the ending of SLC Punk. when they're all trying to still listen to Rush and play D&D, and he's like, oh, put this on. It's new. That's Shaggy now.
Jessica Bersanio says it's difficult to pick just one song. Many songs that came out new from 97 to 2000 will remind me of my teen years, only because that was around the time I was in high school. Or even songs older, like I'm Your Puppet or Sleepwalk, because it reminds me of dedications that some hood rat wanted to dedicate on the radio to their boo on 102.7 Sunday nights. Maggie
Carlos
Castillo,
Jr., this goes out to you.
Maggie Castillo Ivan says, Judas Priest, You've Got Another Thing Coming. Judson Cooper says, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Californication, or Modest Mouse. Crap luck.
Right.
And Travis K says, if it was metal or bass oozing electronica, it was my jam. One song wasn't enough.
I was going to say the Spawn soundtrack. I listened to like a motherfucker.
The Spawn soundtrack was sick.
Yeah, I had it had Atari Teenage Dude, Riot and Slayer.
John Leguizamo was the fat clown.
That's the next question that you have to say for is
which like, soundtrack was better than the movie?
Yeah,
Judgment Night, Spawn.
It's a good start,
Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Little Nicky. Yeah.
So the soundtracks, there's pretty much a bunch of
Kirk Hammett and Tribal.
Satan!
Beavis and Bedhead to America?
God, Judgment.
That soundtrack was fucking awesome.
Yeah, but I love that movie.
Get the fuck out.
No. You know what you're thinking about? You know what you're thinking about? The Beavis and Butthead Experience, which wasn't a soundtrack. It was just an album that came out. It had Nirvana's I Hate Myself, I Want to Die. I love Nirvana.
The Anthrax cover of
99 Ways to Die? No, it's Megadeth.
Yeah, that's a big song, but it's Anthrax cover of Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun, yeah. Son of a Gun, Son of a Bitch, Getting Money, Getting Rich.
Yeah, it was about an experience, dude. Hell yeah.
So yeah, you know, neuroscience and songs, man. It's not very funny.
Teenagers, that's not funny.
It's hard. Not funny. That's a hard topic. I think that makes a good one, right?
Wicked yeah. Teens and music. Teens and music.
All right, so we're going to do these.
These are last.
We're doing Milk and Ham. Milk and Mouse.
This is from Germany, from the Berlin. These are Milk, Mouse, and Wilderberry.
So no,
and
Wilderberry. No Kinder Eggs, bro?
I brought Kinder Eggs for my nieces. And
oh, good.
Okay. So yeah, these are chocolate berry cream filled things called Milk Mouse.
And what do they look like? Joey?
They look like little gummy bears, but they're not. They're like little mice, and they're boxy.
Here we go.
They're chocolate.
Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful.
No, they taste like chocolate that was in a box of chocolates.
Yeah, it smells like it.
No, but it's kind of
berries.
It's kind of like a vanilla crunchy thing in the middle.
You know what it tastes like? Chocolate crunch berries.
Chocolate crunch, that's exactly what it tastes mm-hmm. like.
Right?
Yeah, it's the same sensation. Yeah.
So
yeah.
My favorites so far have been the...
not the Napoleons?
Napoleons are the shit.
The fuzzy, the fizzy lemons?
The mignons, dude.
The mignons. You like the hazelnut.
Yeah, mignons. It's like a fucking...
That's really sweet, though. The Milk Mouses are very sweet.
Real sweet. Probably a few of those, yeah.
Ooh.
That's nice, though.
Napoleons are good. My favorite was the combo bacon onion snack together. So
the combo is really
coated
good.
Peanuts.
Nobody liked the Negroes.
Because they're...
Well, unfortunately...
They're a cough drop.
Wait, guys, Jesus. Unfortunately... Let me just say this. Unfortunately, the Negroes were a mistake. I mean,
I hope that is never... That will never be edited out of context.
Here's the thing, man.
They were. The Negroes, I didn't know that they were... I did not know that they were cough drops. I thought they were candy, so the Negroes
Here's the thing about the Negroes.
Hey, you know what's good with blowjobs? Negroes.
Here's a bad thing about Negroes is that they were brought to this country... Unwillingly,
his
he didn't know what he was getting himself into. He's like, you know, I'm going to bring these
These are so mine now.
We have to pay for all these fucking Negroes that we had nothing to do with.
It's like, you know, he's like, I'm taking these Negroes. They're mine now.
And take them back.
And they're going to make my friends happy.
Negroes. They're cough drops, essentially. Very licorice-y.
Yeah.
All right. Negroes taste like absinthe. Okay, what are we doing?
All right, so Joey, this is your first time on the podcast. Jay, you're one of our most frequent guests and always welcomed here. At the end of this podcast and every podcast is to let you know, Joey, public access is an educational program. So we ask our guests and we ask ourselves, what did we come to know? What made you come to know something from this podcast? And as always, Jay Su, what did you learn today?
That's terrible. I came to know, and this is a lesson. This is a lesson for everyone who world travels and likes to purchase snacks for your friends. Babelfish is a useful tool. That way, you can actually type in...
Hey, that's if you have working Wi-Fi in said country.
All right?
Fair enough. I'm going in there blind.
All right, fair enough. But if you have access to Babelfish, you can type in something and it'll translate it for you so you don't bring your friends home Negro cough drops. But the experience was worth it. But, you know, Babelfish.
So that's what you learned.
What I came to know is that Joey has a dead nut.
Damn it, man. Come on. That was mine.
No, but I came to know that. Like,
yeah, you did.
You can have a dead part of your body. And, you know, Jess's doctor said that the gallbladder is the most worthless part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But to Joey, it's his testicle.
Yeah. One of them. The left one, if you're curious.
A cow kicked the shit out of your balls, and now one of them died.
And my balls aren't as strong as Regan's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Broke your hoof on these nuts.
Yeah. Cow broke your hoof up in these nuts. So I know that my friend Joey McCormick is a uniball.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I guess now everyone knows that.
Yeah. You know? Your balls made me come. To know that about you.
Okay. I guess that was my answer. I'm going to say that I came to know that Jess has lived a very pain-free life. Nearly painless life. And I think that, like you said, as his friend, I'm glad that, Jess, you have lived a very pain-free life and that your only pain that you've ever felt was just getting up after surgery for a couple of minutes. So
I've never had surgery. Well, does that count as surgery on my finger?
Yeah, no. That's well.
Sure.
Does it go under? No. If
my fingy did.
If you don't go under, no. If you don't go under, that doesn't count.
Did a doctor put a knife to your or a sharp instrument to your body?
Yes,
that's surgery.
Yeah,
that's surgery.
It just sucked because it was kind of next to my poo finger, so I think that might have had something to do with it.
No, I know you're right. I know you're right. I'm just being machismo.
Yeah,
I'm being petty.
So, Joey, what did you come to know?
Okay, I learned that the set for Comedia Gogo not nearly as fancy as I thought it would be.
Wow, fuck you, man.
It's a living
room. But the quality of characters on the show twice as good as I thought it was going to be. And I also learned. I know that Larry Garza can't handle fizzy candy. He can't handle fizzy candy when it hits him in the lips.
That was weird.
I got both my balls.
You find one person.
It doesn't make you better than me because, I mean.
I think it literally makes me more of a man than you are.
I think you have two obvious evidence that it makes it more.
Oh, I get to spend my money on whatever I want, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not a second ball.
I couldn't afford one. Even if I wanted one, I couldn't afford a second ball.
Thanks, Obama.
You get like
the. I could be the face of the ball sack of the.
You can get one of those stress balls. You can get like one of those stress balls, put it in the pouch, and just have it like playing.
I've always wondered, like if I replaced it with a prosthetic, like I would.
Do they have those?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, so you've researched this, and you're like,
I mean, no. You would too if you had a dead ball.
Yeah, absolutely,
you'd look
it
up. No,
but I like it bothered me for a long time, but it doesn't anymore. You
know? But there was no surgery; they just left it alone.
Is it like?
What am I going to have him pull it out? What the fuck am I going to do?
Could you get like Boardwalk Empire and get like the mask for that ball that well, makes it look like a human ball?
I'm going to reenact the Phantom of the Opera with my testicles.
Here's my mine is different. What I came to know because I thought it was the same, but I came to know that you can have a dead testicle just in your body.
You can have a dead nut.
Like, just scientifically.
It's dead to me.
Technically speaking, it's dead. It's done. Yeah, the only thing that would have made that worse if he would have said dude at the end.
Yeah,
you know?
So like, I didn't know that was...
Yeah, he said, it's dead. It's done. If he would have said...
I thought they'd have to take it out, but they didn't. So I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
So... Oh, real quick. Surgery. The treatment of injuries or disorders of the body by incision or manipulation, especially with instruments.
Oh, so it counts.
So, right.
It absolutely counts.
So Andy had surgery on me when she talked me into getting married. Jay.
Hey-o.
I learned that European candy tastes like Joey's dead balls.
Have you tasted Joey's dead ball?
I wouldn't let my random selection speak for all of their candy, but...
Could you put that on the... What's the translation?
I like to think that like my one ball picks up the slack. That's where I find peace, I guess.
Well, it picks up your slacks, or else they'd fall off your legs. There,
hello. You can't have one ball and pleated pants. That's...
I'm wearing out the heel on my right shoe every single shoe. Just walking with a limp.
Dude, you should do a Japanese movie where the chick steps on your dead ball, but it doesn't bother you because it's dead.
Can you? I'm reading a magazine. I'm reading a magazine the whole time. Like, eh. Whatever.
Do you come different? Serious question?
Serious question? No, yeah. Not at all.
Okay. Do you come the same amount?
The exact same amount.
Well, much like a person could live without one kidney. Exactly. You know, I think your body picks up
the slack. Exactly. No, I feel like the other one's bigger now because the other, you know, because...
I mean, here's the thing. You may, one of them slacking. Because he doesn't know for sure, he might have a lower sperm count, but it's still...
But it's still the same amount of semen.
Yeah, like sperm is one thing and semen is another thing. It's still the, you know, my body still produces the same amount.
Got it. All right.
Arcing loads of molten hot cum.
Right. Okay, so the boy butter's still churning.
Yeah, no. I do well. Yeah, yeah.
How many friends have given you Uniball pins over the years?
Wow.
Because that's all I'm going to do now.
No, I just want a Livestrong bracelet. I want a whole arm of Livestrong bracelets.
Does your dick rest on the dead ball or the live ball?
Actually, no. Like perceptually, it doesn't look different.
It's like a golf dick laying in the graveyard.
I would figure that your dick would take the space
as if it's a bump.
So it's like your dick and your ball are just even
with each other.
No,
like, so like it's like it's a bumpy road. Dicks.
So you're saying his dick overcompensates for his ball?
Here's a change. If you're looking at my balls,
here's a switch.
Because most men, one of your balls is bigger anyway. So if you're looking at my dick, it doesn't look that different. But like, if you get your hands down there, like Jay, well,
the doctor,
or Jay Y. Cotton throughout this show, that's when you can tell when you're fucking, when you're feeling the actual balls.
This is a hot topic right here.
Yeah,
as hot as it gets.
Joey's ball.
Yeah, hot ropes of topics.
Molten hot ropes.
Let's go look at Joey's balls. 1, 2, 3, not it.
Not it. I want to. Wait, what are we? What's the race for? Strawberry. So, guys, thank you all so much for being guests on Public Access. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Jay, where can people follow you? What do you got coming up next?
I want more Twitter followers, at White Cotton.
All right. So
follow White Cotton.
Let's get a mission going, guys. Follow Jay on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. He does a lot of really funny stuff.
Yeah, and this past week.
Fights with... celebrities.
No, well, every now and then. But this last, my favorite one was after that cartoonist got killed by the Muslims. I was just turning all the cartoons maybe to be more Muslim,
so
that maybe artists won't be shot. So I've been coming up with Muslim versions of American cartoons.
Nice,
I love it.
I saw a Family Circus one today. It made me chuckle. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Pat White Cotton on Twitter.
Halal the Horrible.
I figured out one for Far Side where it was just a calendar, but the only date's 9/11.
Yeah, right. Yeah. God damn it. Mosque Maduke.
You're too big for that bomb fest.
Yeah. Joey McCormick, where can people follow you, catch you?
I tell you what, it's
Instagram,
Facebook, or at Joey_McCormick, or The Blind Tiger every Friday night. Yeah. I'm there, so come see some live comedy.
Jess, we got anything going on?
No, same old usual stuff. You want to go to comediaagogo.com. You get all kinds of cool stuff like our older episodes or older adventures that you can't find here on oneofus.net. So older stuff.
stuff like our movie, like Blood Cousins, which you can also get at bloodcousinsmovie.com.
Did you say bloodcousinsmovie.com?
I did say bloodcousinsmovie.com.
Interesting.
A fantastic movie you can pick up for only $5, or pick it up with Larry and Regan's Big Red and Barbacoa for $7. It's a steal. So thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We highly appreciate it. And thanks a bunch for joining us on our Happy Campers Facebook page, giving us all those answers to all those great questions. We always look forward to your answers. We love sharing them. And thanks for listening. Thanks a bunch.
And shout out to Brandy Dunnigan. She's going to have a podcast coming
That's
up
right.
Entitled Candy Cigarettes. She was a past guest, and a lot of us are going to be guest featured on her podcast. Podcasts are about 15 minutes in length. They're really entertaining. Was able to get a sneak preview. Turned in my story to her that was recorded tonight at the LOL Comedy Club, guys. So make sure you catch Candy Cigarettes. Also
on iTunes.
On iTunes, that's right. Or Libsyn. Also follow Blind Tiger Laugh on Twitter. And like the Facebook page, you guys. And I will be opening for Dave Coulier in June. I requested that. And you know what? I bet she's going to be fucking hilarious. And so I'm going to enter... Huh?
Thank you.
How much you want to bet? I'll throw money on that. I bet you he's funny. He's been fucking doing it for a while. All right. Pauly Shore surprised the
will
fuck out of me.
Will he make the audience laugh?
Yes.
Is he funny? We will find out.
You know what? I will put the $5 that I made.
You mean stole.
I will double up on the $5 right. that I made on the show
You guys got to go check out Dave Coulier. To see, look, here's what I'm saying, man. He got Alanis Morissette to blow him and then make a Grammy Award winning album.
14-year-old Alanis Morissette.
Even better. And what was great is when he made her say,
if you can get Alanis now to blow you, that's way
more. Are your pants full of look right, look left, look up, look down?
What?
It was Ranger Dude under on him doing that on stage.
He has a picture of Jimmy Fallon with Woody or whatever the fuck the woodchuck. Yeah. Alright, Regan.
What?
Alright, man. So thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of Comedy Google's Public Access. Thanks to Jay White Cotton, Joe McCormick. Once again, this is Larry.
Oh, this is Regan.
And this is Jess.
See you in burgers. We'll fuck you later.